पदाया कृष्ण प्रसाया भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांग स्वामी Say.
Hare Krishna. ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय संसारसागरे मग्नं दीनं मां करुणानिधे कर्मग्राह्यगृहीताङ्गम् माम् उद्धर भवार्णवाल् श्रीमल्भागवदाख्योऽयम् प्रत्यक्ष कृष्णमेव हि स्वीकृतोऽसि मया नाथ मुक्त्यर्थम् भवसागरे मनोरथे मदीयोऽयम् सफला सर्वदा त्वया निर्विघ्नेनैव कर्तव्यम् दासोऽहम् तव केशवाम् भवे भवे यथा भक्ति पादयोस्तव जायते तथा कुरुष्व देवेश नाथस्त्वं नो यदप्रभो नाम संकीर्तनं यस्य सर्वपापप्रणाशनं प्रणामो दुःखशमनं तं नमामि हरिं परम् जन्माद्यस्य यतोऽन्वयादितरतश्चातेषु अभिज्ञस्वराल् तेने ब्रह्महृदा य आदिकवये मुह्यन्ति यल्सूरयाः तेजो वारिमृदम् यथा विनिमयो यत्र त्रिसर्गो मृषा धाम्ना स्वेन सदा निरस्तकुहकम् सत्यम् परम् धीमहि ധർമ്മ പ്രോജിതം കൈതവോത്രപരമോ നിർമത്സരാണാം സതാം വേദ്യം വാസ്തവം അത്ര വസ്തുശിവദം തവത്രയോന്മൂലനം. ശ്രീമദ് ഭാഗവതേ മഹാമുനി കൃതേ കിം മാപരൈ ഈശ്വര സദ്യോ ഹൃദ് അവരുദ്ധ്യതേത്ര കൃതിഭി ശുശ്രൂഷുഭി തൽക്ഷണാൽ. നിഗമകൽപതരോർഗളിതം ഫലം ശുകമുഖാദമൃതദ്രവ സംയുതം പിബത ഭാഗവതം രസമാലയം മുഹുരഹോ രസികാ ഭുവി ഭാവുകാഃ. സച്ചിദാനന്ദരൂപായ വിശ്വോൽപത്യാദിഹേതവേ താപത്രയ വിനാശായ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ വയം നുമാം. യം പ്രവ്രജന്തം അനുവേദം അപേദകൃത്യം ദ്വൈപായനോ വിരഹകാതരം ആജുഹാവാം. പുത്രേതി തന്മയതയാ തരവോഭിനേതു തം സർവഭൂതഹൃദയം മുനിം ആനതോസ്മി. യസ്വാനുഭാവമഖില ശ്രുതിസാരമേകം അധ്യാത്മദീപം അതിതിതീർഷദാം തമോന്ധം സംസാരിണാം കരുണയാഹ പുരാണഗുഹ്യം തം വ്യാസസൂനും ഉപയാമി ഗുരും മുനീനാം. നാരായണം നമസ്കൃത്യ നരം ചൈവ നരോത്തമം ദേവീം സരസ്വതീം വ്യാസം തതോ ജയം ഉദീരയേൽ. കമനീയ കിശോരമുഗ്ധമൂർത്തേ കളവേണു കുണിതാദൃതാനനെന്തോഹ മമ വാചി വിജൃംഭതാം മുരാരേ മധുരിം ന കണികാപി കാപി കാവീം. നമാ ഓം വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമതേ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമി ഇതി നാമിനേ. നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതി ദേവീം ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണേ നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യദേശധാരിണേ ശ്രീമൽ ഗുരുചരണാരവിന്ദാഭ്യാം നമഃ. വന്ദേ നന്ദവ്രജ സ്ത്രീണാം പാദരേണുമഭീഷ്ണശ യാസാം ഹരികതോദ്ഗീതം പുനാതി ഭുവനത്രയം ഗോപീചരണാരവിന്ദ പരമാണവേ നമഃ. പീതാംബരം കരവിരാജിതചക്രശംഖം കൗമോദഗീ സരസിജം കരുണാസമുദ്രം രാധാസഹായം അതിസുന്ദരമന്ദഹാസം വാതാലയേശമനിശം പ്രതിഭാവയാമി. കോമളം കൂജയന് വേണം ശ്യാമളോയം കുമാരക വേദവേദ്യപരം ബ്രഹ്മ ഭാസദാം പുരതോ മമ. മൂകം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം. ഓം ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ നമ ശ്രീമുരാധ്യായേ നമ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദനാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ. So after the story of Satrajit in the and the Samantaka jewel in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the next chapter covers the marriages. Krishna had the major 8 marriages after Rukmini Devi, after 7 marriages more, and the 8 major wives of Krishna. They were brought and married to Dwaraka. Rukmini Devi, then later on Jambavati, and then afterwards Satyabhama. And after Satyabhama, it was Mitravinda, and then Satya, Bhadra and Lakshmana. So this is how the first eight marriages happened for Krishna, which we have spoken about in the on last Sunday. So afterwards, after that marriages, Krishna married another 16,100 wives. Some Puranas it says 16,000, but there is only 100 different 16,100 wives later on, and that is the story that is discussed in the next chapter. So before I go to that, I'll just read through this chapter of the marriages for the other eight wives, and then we will continue from there. And then after these 16,100 wives, how they were married, that is discussed in another chapter. And then later, after that, is the Krishna's famous discussions in the Srimad Bhagavatam, known as the chapter of Karhichid. Karhichid, it begins with the word Karhichid. Karhichid means that what happened in Dwaraka, in the palace at one time, Krishna in his householder life, he taught us what is householder life. Krishna explained to us and demonstrated to us what can happen in householder life. And in householder life, what one should be careful about. Egoisa Skandam also later, Krishna says many things about householder life. And because majority of the people in this world will always be householders, the percentage of people who will be brahmacharis and sannyasis, that's going to be very, very small in number. And because of that, it is very relevant to the world more than any other thing. Like Krishna's instructions in householder life, if they are accepted by the society and understand the significance of householder life and the important things to bear in mind during the householder life, all these things Krishna has demonstrated practically in his own pastimes in this world. Krishna is not bound by any of the laws of this world. After all, varnas and ashramas were created by Krishna. Krishna is not controlled by any of them. But still, in order for the benefit of the human society, Krishna has given a lot deeper understanding of householder life, how it should be conducted. And that is the 60th chapter in the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is actually it is a quarrel between Krishna and Rukmini. But it will be not proper to say like that. After all, Supreme Personality of Godhead doesn't have to quarrel with anybody. He is above everything else. So therefore, Srila Prabhupada mentions in the Krishna book as talks between Krishna and Rukmini. So in a very mild manner, it has been put. It's a little little more than that, that Krishna has actually frightened Rukmini in certain ways. And Rukmini has also responded. But from that interaction between Krishna and Rukmini, many, many things to be understood and learned for the householder. So that's why it makes it more interesting. Before we come to that, I'll just read through the other two chapters. Sri Shuka Uvaja. This is chapter number 58. That is the marriage of Kalindi, Mitravinda, Satya, Bhadra and Lakshmana. Shri Shuka Uvaja. Egada Pandavan Drishtam Pradidan Purushottama Indraprastham Gada Shriman Yudhanadi Birubhrada Drishtva Atamagadam Partha Mugundam Agileshwaram Uttasturiga Badhira Pranamukhyami Vagadam Parishajyachidam Vira Angasangahadaina Sa Sanuragasmidam Vatram Vichadasya Mudam Yayu Yudhishthirasya Bhimasya Krutvapada Abhivandanam Phalgunam Bariravhyada Yamabhyam Chabhivandida Paramasanam Asinam Krishna Krishna Manindida Navodha Pridida Kinjal Chaniretya Abhivandada Tadaiva Sadhi Prarthe Pujidascha Abhivandida Nishasa Asani Jabu Nishasadasani Nija Pujida Parivasada Pradham Samagatikrata Abhivandana Sayadihardardra Dashabhirambida Ah Prashtavam Stam Kushalam Sahasnusham Pidrishwasaram Parivrishtabandhava Vimaha Pramavaiklavyam Rudhagandashvalojana Smirandidan Bahun Kleshan Kleshabhayatmadarshanam Tadayu Kushalam Nobhil Sanadhaste Kradavayam Yadinna Smirada Krishna Bradame Prishidasvaya Nadesti Sabarabhandra Vishwasya Sukhradalpana Tathabismaradam Shashwal Kleshan Hamsikudistida Yudhishthira Uvaja Kimna Ajarim Shayo Navedaha Navedaha Mathishwara Yogeshwaranam Durdarsho Yenno Drishta Kimauthasam Yenno Drishta Kumethasam Idivai ഇതിവൈവാഷികാൻ മാസൻരാജ്ഞാസോഭ്യർത്ഥിതസുഖം ജനയഞ്ജനയനാനന്ദം ഇന്ദ്രപ്രസ്തോകസാം വിഭൂം ഏകതാരതമാരുഷ്യം വിജയോ വാനരധ്വജം ഗാണ്ഡീവം ധനുരാധായ തൂണൌജാക്ഷയസായകവും സാകം കൃഷ്ണേന സന്നദ്ധോ വിഹർത്തം വിപിനം വനം ബഹുവ്യാളമുഗാകീർണം പ്രാവിശൽ പരവീരഃ തത്ര വിദ്യച്ഛരൈർവ്യാഘ്രാൻ സൂകരാൻ മഹിഷാൻ രുരൂൻ ശരഭാൻ ഗവയാൻ ഗദ്ഗൻ ഹരിണാൻ ചഞ്ചശല്ലകാൻ താനിന്നകിങ്കരാജ്ഞേധ്യാൻ പർവണ്യുപാകേത്രൽപരീതപരിശ്രാന്തോ ബീബൽ സൂര്യമനാമഗാൽ തത്രോപസ്പൃശ വിശദം പീത്വാ വാരി മഹാരഥോ കൃഷ്ണോദർശദോ കന്യാം ചരന്തീം ചാരുദർശനാം താമാസാദ്യവരാരോഹം സുദ്വിജാം രുചിരാനനാം പപ്രച്ച പ്രേഷിത സഖ്യ ഫാൽഗുന പ്രമദോത്തമാം കാത്വം കസ്യാസി ശുശ്രോണി കഥോസി കിം ചികീർഷസി മന്യേ ത്വാം പതിമിച്ഛന്തിം സർവം കഥേ ശോഭനി കാളിന്ദി ഉവാച അഹം ദേവസ്യ സവിതുർ ദുഹിതാ പതിമിച്ഛതി വിഷ്ണും വരേണ്യം വരുതം തവ പരമമാസ്ഥിത നാന്യം പതിവ്രണേ വീര തമൃതേ ശ്രീനികേതനം തുഷ്യതാമേ സ ഭഗവാൻ മുകുന്ദോനാഥ സംശ്രയാം കാളിന്ദീതി സമാഖ്യാതം വസാമിയമുനാ ജലേ നിർമ്മിതേ ഭവനേ പിത്രോ യാവദച്യുത ദർശനം തഥാവതൽ ഗുഡാകേശോ വാസുദേവായ സോപിതാം തഥമാരോപ്യതദ്വിദ്വാൻ ധർമ്മരാജോപാഗമാൽ യദൈവാ കൃഷ്ണസന്ദിഷ്ട പാർത്ഥാനാം പരമാത്ഭുതം കാരയാമാസനഗരം വിചിത്രം വിശ്വകർമ്മണ ഭഗവാം സത്ര നിവസൻ സ്വാനാം പ്രിയ ചികീർഷയ അഗ്നയേ കാണ്ഡവം ദാതു അർജുനസ്യാസ സാരഥി സോഗ്നിസ്തുഷ്ടോ ധനുരഥാഖായാൻ ശ്വേതാണ്ട സന്ദ്രവ അർജുനായ ക്ഷയോ തോണോ വർമ്മജാഭേദ്യമാസ്ത്രവി മയശ്ച മോചിതോ വന്യേ സഭാം സഖ്യമുപാഹരൽ യസ്മിൻ ദുര്യോധനസ്യാസി സ്ഥലജല ദുര്യോധനാസി ജലസ്ഥലദൃശിഭ്രമാം സദൈന സമനുജ്ഞാതം സുഹൃദിശ്ചാനുമോദിത ആയയൌ ദ്വാരകാംഭൂയ സാത്വികി പ്രമുഖേരുപദാം അധോമയേമേ കാളിന്ദീം സുമണ്യർത്രദൃക്ഷം ഓർജിതേ വിദുന്നം പരമാനന്ദം സ്വാനാംബരമംഗളം വിന്ദാനുവിന്ദാവന്ത വിന്ദാനുവിന്ദാവാവന്ദ്യോ ദുര്യോധനവശാനുഗോ സ്വയംവരേ സുഭഗിനീം കൃഷ്ണേ സക്താം ന്യഷേധദാം രാജാദിദേവ്യോസ്തനയാം മിത്രവിന്ദാം വിദുഷസു പ്രസഹ്യതവാൻ കൃഷ്ണോ രാജൻ രാജ്ഞാം പ്രപശ്യതാം നഗ്നചിന്നാമ കൗസല്യമാസീൽ രാജാദിധാർമിക തസ് സത്യാഭവൽകന്യാ ദേവീ നാഗ്നജിതീ നൃപ നദാം ശേഖനൃപാവാഢ്യം അജിത്വാ സപ്തകോ വൃഷാൻ തൃഷ്ണശൃംഗാൻ സുർദർശാൻ വീരഗന്ധാ സഹാൻ ബലാൻ താം ശ്രുത്വാ വൃഷജില്ലഭ്യാം ഭഗവാൻ സാത്വതാം പതി ജഗാമ കൗസല്യപുരാം കൗസല്യപുരം സൈന്യേന മഹതാവൃത സകോസലപതി പ്രീത പ്രത്യുത്താസാഹന പ്രത്യുത്താനാസനാധിപി അർഹണീനാഭി ഗുരുണാം പൂജയൻ പ്രതിനന്ദിതാം വരം വിലോക്യാഭിമതം സമാഗതം നരേന്ദ്രകന്യാചകമേരമാപതിം ഭൂയാദയം മേ പതിരാശിഷോമല കരോതു സത്യായതി മേ ധൃതോ വൃതൈ യൽപാദമംഗജലജ ശിരസാഭിവർത്തി ശ്രീരബ്ജന സഗിരീശസ്സഹലോകപാലൈ ലീലാദനോ സുഹൃതസേതുപരീപ്സ യശകാലേധതൽ സ ഭഗവാൻ മമ ജേന തുഷ്യേൽ അർച്ചിതമുനരിത്യാഹ നാരായണ ജഗൽപദേ ആത്മാനന്ദേന പൂർണ്ണസ്യ കരവാണീകമൽപകം കിമൽപക ശ്രീശുഗൗവാചാം തമാഹ ഭഗവാൻ കൃഷ്ണകൃതാസന പരിഗ്രഹ മേഘഗംഭീരയാ വാച സസ്മിതം കുരുനന്ദന ശ്രീഭഗവാൻ വാച നരേന്ദ്രയാശ്ര കവിഭിർവിഗർഹിതം രാജന്യബന്ധോർ നിജധർമ്മവർത്തിനാം തഥാഭിയാജേ തവ സൗഹൃദേച്ഛയാ കന്യാം ത്വദീയം നഹി ശുൽക്കദാ വയം ശ്രീരാജോവാചാം കോന്യസ്തേഭ്യ ധിയോ നാഥ കന്യാവരമിഹേപ്സിത ഗുണേകഥാം നോ യസ്യാംഗേ ശീർവസത്യനവായിനി ഹിത്വസ്മാഭികൃത പൂർവം സമയസാധുദർശവാ പുംസാം വീര്യപരീക്ഷാർത്ഥം കന്യാവരപരീപ്സയാം സപ്തൈരേകോ വൃഷാവീര ദുർധാന്താദുരവഗ്രഹ ഏതേർഭഗ്നാസു ബഹവോ ഭിന്നഗാത്രാനൃവാത്മജാ യതിമേ നിഗ്രഹീതാസ്യു സ്വയൈവൈതുനന്ദന വരോ ഭവാൻ അഭിമതോ ധുഹി ദുർമേ ശ്രീയപദേ ഏവം സമയമാകർണ്യം ബദ്ധ്വാ പരികരം പ്രഭോ ആത്മാനം സപ്തതാ കൃത്വാ നിഗ്നാലീലയൈവതാൻ ബദ്ധ്വാ ദാന്ധാമം വിശൗര്യർ അഗ്നദർഭാൻ ഹതോ ജസാ വികർഷീലയാ ബദ്ധാൻ ബാലോദാരുമയാന്യഥാ തത പ്രീതസുതാം രാജോ ദതോ കൃഷ്ണായ വിസ്മിത താം പ്രത്യഗ്രഹണാത്മഭഗവാൻ വിധിവല്ലസദൃശീം പ്രഭോ രാജപത്നശ്ച ദുഹൃദോ കൃഷ്ണലബ്ധ്വാ പ്രിയം പതിം ലേഭിരേ പരമാനന്ദം ജാതശ്ച പരമോത്സവ ശംഖഭേര്യാനഗാനേ ദുർഗീതവാദ്യതിജാശിഷ നരാനാര്യപ്രമുദിത സുവാസസ്രകലംകൃത ദശധേനു സഹസ്രാണി പാരിവർഹമദാദ്വിപു യുവതീനാം ത്രിസഹസ്രം നിഷ്ടഗ്രീവ സുവാസസാം നവനാഗസഹസ്രാണി നാഗാച്ഛതഗുണാൻ രഥാച്ഛതഗുണാനശ്വാനശ്വാച്ഛതഗുണാൻ നരാൻ ദമ്പതീരഥമാരോപ്യം മഹത്യാസേനയാവൃതോ സ്നേഹപ്രക്ലിന്നഹൃദയോ യാപയാമാസ കോസല ശ്രുത്വൈതദുരുദൂർഭ്രൂപ നയം ദമ്പതി കന്യകാം ഭഗ്നവീര്യാസുദുർമൂർഷാം യദുവിർഗോ വൃഷൈ പുരാ താനസി ദശരവ്രാതൻ ബന്ധുപ്രിയമുദർജുന ഗാണ്ഡീവീകാലയാമാസ സിംഹക്ഷുദ്രമഗാനിവ പാരിബർഹമുപാഗൃഹ്യ ദ്വാരകാമേത്യ സത്യയാം രേമേയേതൂനാം ഋഷഭോ ഭഗവാൻ ദേവകീ സുതാം ശ്രുതകീർത്തേ സുതാം ഭദ്രമുപയേമേ പിതൃശ്വസു കൈകേയീം ഭ്രാതിഭിർദത്താം കൃഷ്ണസന്ദർദനാധിവീ സുതാം ച മദ്രാധിപതേർ ലക്ഷ്മണാം ലക്ഷണേയുതാം സ്വയംവരേ ജഹാരേജസ സുവർണസുധാമിവ അന്യാശൈവമിതാ ഭാര്യ കൃഷ്ണസ്യാസന് സഹസ്രശ ഭൗമം മഹത്വാത്മനിരോധ അഹൃതാശ്ചാരുദർശന ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതീ മഹാപുരാണേ പാരമഹംസ്യം സംഹിതായാം ദശമസ്കന്ദേ ഉത്തരാർദ്ധേ అష్టమయుషిద్వాహో నామ అష్టపంచాశతమోధ్యాయ సర్వత్ర గోవింద నామ సంకీర్తనం గోవింద గోవింద. ఇన్ ది నెక్స్ట్ చాప్టర్ దట్ ఈస్ 59 కృష్ణ హ్యాస్ మ్యారీడ్ ద 16,100 వైఫ్ ది బ్యాక్గ్రౌండ్ ఆఫ్ దాట్ స్టోరీ అండ్ హౌ దిస్ మ్యారేజ్ హ్యాపెన్ ది 16,100 girls at the same time were married to Krishna. That is discussed in the next chapter. Shri Raja Vajam Tada Idahado Bhagavado Bhavao Yene Chadastriya Nirudha Yada Raja Chavikramam Shangadhanvina Shri Shugo Vajam Indena Hila Chatrena Kadakundala Bandhuna Hitu Amaradristani Natyavido Bhavama Jeshtidam Sabharyo Girudarunam Prajyo Dishavuram Yayo Giridurge Shastadurge Jalagdanila Durgamam Uravashayudir Ghore Dande Sarvadam Avradam గదయా నిర్భిభేదాద్రీన్ శస్త్రదుర్గాని సాయగై చక్రేణాగ్నిం జలం వాయుం ఉరభాషాంస్తథాసినాం శంఖనాథీన యంత్రాణి హృదయాని మనస్వినాం ప్రాగారం గదయా గుర్వ్య నిర్భిభేద గదాధరాం పాంచజన్యధ్వనిం శ్రుత్వా యుగాంధాశనిభీషణం ఉరశయానముత్తస్థౌ దైత్య పంచశిరా జలాల్ త్రిశూలముద్యమ సుదూర్నిరీక్షణం యుగాంధ సూర్యానరోజిరుల్బనై గ్రసం శ్రీలోకీమివ పంచవిర్ముఖే అభ్యద్రవర్తాక్షసుదం యథోరగాం ఆవిద్యశూలం తనసా గరుల్పదే నిరస్య వక్త్రైర్వదన వెనదల్ స పంచమీ నరోదసీ నరోదసీ సర్వదిశోందర మహాన్ ఆవూరయన్ అండకడాహమావృణోల్ తదావదద్వై త్రిశిఖం గరుల్పదే హరిశరాభ్యామభినత్రిధౌజస ముఖేషుదం చాపి శరైరదాడయల్ తస్మై గదాం సోభిరుషో వ్యముంచదాం తామాపదంతిం గదయాం గదాం రదే గదాగ్రజో నిర్భివీవ నిర్భిభిదే సహస్రథ ఉద్యమ్య బాహు అభిదావదోజిదా శిరాంసి చక్రేణ జహార లీలయ వ్యసుప్పబాధాంబసీకృత శీర్షో నిగృత శృంగో ద్రిరివేంద్ర తేజస తస్యాత్మజా సప్తమి దుర్వధాధురా ప్రతిక్రియా అర్షజుష సముద్యదాః తామ్రోందరీక్ష శ్రవణో విభావ సుర్వసూర్ణసోన్ వసూన్ అనురణశ్చ సంతమాం పీఠం పురస్కృత శమోపదిం రథే భౌమ ప్రయుక్త నరగన్ను నృదాయ్ నరగనుధృతాయుధాః ప్రాయుంజనాసాదిశరానసీన్ గదాశక్తి హృష్టిశూల్యాన్యజిదేషోల్బణా తచ్చస్త్రగూఢం భగవాన్ స్వమార్గనైరమోఘవీర్యస్థిలశ్చకర్తః తాన్ పీఠముఖ్యాననయమ్యదక్షయం నిగృత్తభిర్శిర్షోర్భుజాంగ్రివర్మణ స్వానీకబాన్ అచ్యుత చక్రసాయగైస్తథా నిరస్తన్నరగోధరాసుదా నిరీక్ష దుర్మర్షణమాన్ శ్రవన్ మగైర్ మదేర్గజైర్పయోధి ప్రభవే నిరాక్రమ దృష్ట్వా సభార్యం గిరిడోపరిస్థితం సూర్యోపరిష్టాల్ సదదిర్ఘనం తథా యథా కృష్ణం సదస్మై విసజిచ్చదగ్నిం యోధాశ్చ సర్వే యుగవల్స్మ వివ్యథో తల్భౌమ సైన్యం భగవాన్ గదాగ్రజో విచిత్రవాజైర్నిషదై శిలీముఖై నిగృతబాహు ఋషిరోద్ధ్ర విగ్రహం చకారదర్ఖే హతాశగం జరం యాని యోధైవ యోనియోధై ప్రయుక్తాని శస్త్రాస్త్రాని కురుద్వః హరిస్తాన్యచ్చినత్తీష్ణై శరైరేకేక శస్త్రివి ఉహ్యమాన సువర్ణేన పక్షభ్యాం నిఘ్నదో గజాన్ గరుల్పదాహన్యమానాం సుండభక్షనఖైర్గజాం పురమేవామిషన్నార్త నరగో యుద్ధయుధ్యత దృష్ట్వా విద్రావిదం సైన్యం గరుడేనార్తిదం సుగం తం భౌమ ప్రాహరచ్చక్త్యా వజ్రప్రతిహతో యద నాగం పతదయా విద్ధో మాలాహదమివ ద్వివ శూలం భౌమోచితం హంతు మాదే విధదోధ్యమ తద్విసర్గాల్ పూర్వమేవం నరగస్య శిరో హరి అపాహరల్గజస్తస్య చక్రేణశురనేమినాం సకుండలం చారుకిరీటభూషణం భభౌ పృథివ్యాం పతితం సముజ్వల హా హేది సాధ్య తృషయ సురేశ్వర మాల్యర్ముకుందం విగిరందమీడిరే తదశ్చ భూ కృష్ణముపేతి కుండలే ప్రదప్తజాంబూనదరత్నభాస్వరే స వైజయంద్యామనమాలయార్పయల్ ప్రాచేదసాం చత్రమథో మహామణిం అస్తౌ శీతత విశ్వేశం దేవీదేవరార్చితం ప్రాంజలి ప్రణదారాజన్ భక్తి ప్రణయాధియ భూమిరువాచాం నమస్తే దేవదేవేశా శంఖచక్రగదాధర భక్తిక్షోభాత్తరూపాయ పరమాత్మన్ నమోస్తుతే నమః పంకజనాభాయ నమః పంకజమాలినే నమః పంకజనేత్రాయ నమస్తే పంకజాంగ్రయే నమో భగవతే తుభ్యం వాసుదేవాయ విష్ణవే పురుషాయాదిబీజాయ పూర్ణబోధాయ దే నమః అజాయ జనయత్రేస్య బ్రహ్మణే అనందశక్తయే పరావరాత్మన్ భూతాత్మన్ పరమాత్మన్ నమోస్తుతే త్వమై సదృశ్యజముల్కటం ప్రభో నమో నిరోధాయ వివర్ష సంమృత స్థానాయ సత్వం జగదో జగల్పదే కాలప్రధానం పురుషో భవాన్ పరా అహం వయో జ్యోతినథానిలో నభో మాత్రాని దేవామనమింద్రియాణి కర్తా మహానిత్యగిలం చరాచరం త్వయ్యద్వితీయే భగవద్గ్నయం భూమా తస్యాత్మజోయం తౌ పాదపంకజం భీత ప్రమన్నార్తిహరోపసాదిత తల్పాలయేనం కురు హస్తపంకజం శిరస్యముష్యాఖిల కల్మషావహం శ్రీశుగౌవాచ ఇది భూమ్యార్థితో వాగ్భిర్భగవాన్ భక్తి నమ్రయ ദത്വാഭയം ഭൗമഗൃഹം പ്രാവിശൽ സകലർദ്ധിമൽ തത്ര രാജന്യകന്യാനാം ഷഡ്സഹസ്രാധികായുധം ഭൗമാഹൃതാനാം വിക്രമ്യ രാജഭ്യോ ദദൃശേ ഹരി തം പ്രവിഷ്ടം ശ്രിയോ വീക്ഷണരവീരം വിമോഹിത മനസാ വവ്രിരേ ഭീഷ്ടം പതിം ദൈവോപസാദിതം ഭൂയാൽപദ്രേയം മഹ്യം ധാതാതനുമോദതാം ഇതി സർവാപൃത കൃഷ്ണേ ഭാവേന ഹൃദയം ദധൂം താ പ്രാഹിണോ ദ്വാരവതീം സുമൃഷ്ടവിരജോംബര നരയാനേർ മഹാകോശാൻ രഥാശ്വാന്ദ്രവിണം മഹൽ ഐരാവതകുലേംഭാശ്ച ചതുർദന്താം സ്തരസ്ത്വിഷാ സരസ്വിനാം പാണ്ഡുരാം ചതുഷ്ഷ്ടിം പ്രേഷയാമാസ കേശവാം ഗത്വാ സുരേന്ദ്രമാനം ദത്വാദിത്യേജ കുണ്ഡലൈ പൂജിത ത്രിസ്ത്രിദശേന്ദ്രേണ സഹേന്ദ്രാണ്യാ ജസപ്രിയാം ചോദിതോ ഭാര്യയോൽപാട്യ പാരിജാതം ഗരുൽമതി ആരോപ്യ സേന്ദ്രാൻ വിഭുധാൻ മിർജിതോപ്യാനയൽ പുരം സ്ഥാപിത സത്യഭാമായോ ഗൃഹോദ്യാനോപശോഭന അന്യഗൂർഭ്രമരാ സ്വർഗാൽ തദ്ഘന്താസവലംബടാം ഏയാജമാനം കിരീട കോടിമി പാദോ സ്പൃശന്ന അച്യുതമർദ്ധ സാധനം സിദ്ധാർത്ഥമേതേന വിഗ്രഹ്യതേ മഹാൻ അഹോസുരാണാം ച തമോധികാഢ്യതാം അധോ മുഹൂർത്തേമേകസ്മിൻ നാനാകാര്യേഷു താം ശ്രിയാം യഥോമയേമി ഭഗവാൻ സ്ഥാവൽദ്രൂപഹരോ വ്യയാ ഗൃഹേഷു ദാസ അനപായ്യ നിരസ്തസാമ്യാതിരയേഷ അവസ്ഥിത യേമീരമാഭിർനിജകാമ സംപ്ലുതോ യഥേതരോ ഗാർഹകമേധികാം ശരൻ ഇത്തം ബ്രമാവതി അവാപ്യപതിം സ്ത്രീയസ്ഥാ ബ്രഹ്മാദയോപി നവിതു പദവീം യദീയാം വേജുർമുദാ വിരതാമധീതം അനുരാഘാസാവലോകനവസംഗമ ജൽപലജ്ജാഹ പ്രത്യുഗമാസനവരാഹണപാദശൗചം താംബൂല വിശ്രമണലീജനഗന്ധമാല്യൈ കേശപ്രസാരശയന സ്തവനോപഹാരീർ ദാസീഷതാം അഭിവിദോർ വിതദുസ്മദാസ്യം ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതി മഹാപുരാണേ പരമഹംസം സംഹിതായാം ദശമസ്കന്ധേ ഉത്തരാർദ്ധേ പാരിജാതഹരണം നരകവരതോ നരകവധോ നാമ ഏകോനഷഷ്ടിതമോധ്യായം സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ സോ ഇൻ ദാറ്റ് 59th chapter the incidents what happened after the first 8 marriages while Krishna was in Dwaraka once Indra came to see Krishna Indra came and told Krishna that my mother's eardrops have gone missing Indra says to Krishna. So Krishna asked him, what has happened? How did that happen? Aditi. Aditi Devi is Indra's mother. All demigods' mother is Aditi. So Aditi Devi's eardrops gone missing. They were very expensive eardrops. And when it went missing, Indra could not understand how it happened. So Indra went to Krishna and mentioned this to Krishna. And told Krishna that, I am not able to find out where it has gone. So Krishna asked, has anyone come to visit you? Indra says, Narakasura came to see me. But I could not find, I didn't see him taking it, but it's gone missing since then, Indra says to Krishna. This is a problem sometimes in this world also you will see. When big people, when they steal something, they people call it as a mental disease. They won't say it is stealing. But normal people, if they steal something, they'll say he's a thief. This is just the difference. Actually, Narakasura had a mental problem. He came, he saw these eardrops lying on the table there in Indra's palace. So Narakasura got attracted to that. He wanted to have it. So he just took it with him. Indra didn't probably notice it. Only after Narakasura left, Indra found out that the Aditi Devi's eardrops have gone. They were very expensive ones. Someone has presented them to Aditi sometime before. So Indra mentioned this to Krishna. Krishna smiled, didn't say anything at that point. Someday, he says, we'll find some way out. Krishna said, we'll find out where it is. That much Krishna has told Indra and told him to go back. Indra went back to the heavenly planets. Soon after that, not many days have gone, one day Varuna comes. Varuna comes and says to Krishna, I've lost my umbrella, he says. Now, you may wonder why an umbrella is such a big thing. Costs about 2 pounds here today, but this is not that type of umbrella what Varuna was talking about. In the olden days, not only here, even in the heavenly planets, there are certain umbrellas which are only used as a decoration at the time of special ceremonies. And these umbrellas are very, very expensive. They have been provided with very valuable jewels and also stones. And it is so expensive that it was a very dear, Varuna was very, very attached to that. So one day it looks, appears that Naragasura came on that way and this umbrella has disappeared. So Varuna has reported, and Krishna was still smiling, hearing all these things, the demigods' problems, they were coming and reporting one after the other. Because Krishna was in Dwaraka, was willing to give an audience to them, they came to see Krishna regularly and report about their different problems. Krishna heard that also, and he also told Varuna that we'll find some way out from this. Varuna also went back. When Krishna went to marry Rukmini, at the time of the marriage, after the marriage was over, as we discussed before, Rukmini's marriage to Krishna, if you remember, that Rukmini Devi was taken forcefully by Krishna from Vidarbha, isn't it? Krishna forcefully took Rukmini Devi and went to Dwaraka and married her. Naturally, this created a lot of unhappiness in the minds of all those kings who were present there, who came to marry Rukmini. Particularly Shishubala. They have organized in such a way that Shishubala will marry Rukmini, and all the other kings were supporting Shishubala in this effort. So the marriage was decided on that basis. So naturally, so many powerful princes, they were all present there in the marriage. And in the middle of all that, Krishna has taken Rukmini forcefully and left the place. And Balaram has smashed all of them and thrown them out from there. So you can imagine the revenge in their mind at that time, what they felt about it. So that didn't finish there. You may think that the marriage is over, Krishna went away with Rukmini. No, it didn't finish there. It continued from then on. After all those kings who were present there, they have a background. They were all very, very wicked people, demons who have taken birth in this world. If you remember, when we discussed earlier the marriage of when Krishna appeared in this world, there was a reason for Krishna's appearance. That was to kill Kamsa. It was not only to kill Kamsa, but along with Kamsa, there were many other demons, Kamsa's associates, who took birth at that time as kings in this world. It is mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam in that way. That means, if you go back to the 8th canto, you will find there, after churning the milk ocean, the big battle between demigods and the demons happened in the heavenly planets. In that battle, many demons, powerful demons were killed, but they didn't go back to the spiritual world. On the other hand, they took birth in this planet. And these kings, like we have this Naragasura and so many others, they were those kings who came and appeared in this world, and they were all equally demoniac like Kamsa in many ways. They were particularly very demoniac, and therefore naturally they were very inimical also to Krishna. So Krishna was alone, there wasn't much support from anybody. Duryodhana, Naragasura, Jarasandha and Viduradha, and Salva, and number of them listed there. They were all very powerful kings who were all very inimical to Krishna. So after Rukmini Devi was forcefully taken away from Vidarbha, there was a meeting of these kings together, and they were thinking, we have to put a stop to this of Krishna's way of doing things. This is not acceptable to us. If this is the way things are, if we arrange a marriage for someone, especially a princess, and they were all very aristocratic and royal families, and naturally royal families have their pride also with that, associated with that. So they were very proud about it, and they were thinking that if this is the way things are going to go, we have to put a stop to this. It was then that suddenly what happens one day, they heard that Satrajit has promised to give Satyabhama in marriage to Shatadhanva. And Satrajit has naturally changed his mind, and Krishna has married Satyabhama. That was enough for them to find another cause for them to revolt. So the kings were observing all these things, that if this is the way things are going to go, soon there will be no girls to be married by any of the princes. Princes will find it to find a proper princess. So this situation was going to develop. So the kings have become very concerned about it. This Krishna's attitude, going, as soon as you find a girl, you marry her and bring her to Dwaraka. If this is what's going to happen, what will happen to all the other princes? This was Naragasura's question. It went on like this for some time, and suddenly another thing happened, was Mitravinda's marriage. So Mitravinda also was married by Krishna and taken to Dwaraka. When so many things have happened like that, Naragasura said, I'm not going to tolerate this anymore. And this cowherd boy who has just come from Vrindavanam, and he is not even from the royal family as far as Naragasura is concerned, because Krishna's family has no authority to become king according to the curse, isn't it? Which, you know, in the ninth canto we discussed that, why Krishna's family cannot become kings. None of them can become kings because they were prevented from doing that because of the curse from Yayadi. We'll discuss that in later on again. So what happened was, Naragasura decided, what he did was, he made a letter to all the kings. And he wrote like this, his letter. He says, anyone who has got a daughter of marriageable age, and who is at present, whom you are searching for a husband, every one of them should be sent to Pragyodishapuram. That is where Naragasura ruled from. They should all be sent to Pragyodishapuram. If not done so, within so many days, 21 days or some time, he has given a time period, you should be prepared for the war. I'm going to attack them and I'll forcefully take them away from there. Just like a court summons, you know, from the court, when you send a summons to you, they'll send a message like that. In the similar way, a message from Naragasura. Naragasura was a very, very powerful king, as well as is a demon as well. So this Naragasura sends this message to all the kings all around, and when they got this message, most of them got frightened, because to face Naragasura was very, very difficult. So the result was that most of them sent their daughters to Naragasura's palace, being frightened of an attack from Naragasura. Naragasura had some very powerful demon assisting him, and the most important of them was Murasura. Krishna has killed this Murasura. That is how Kripaya Pare Pahi Murari. The name came to Krishna from killing this demon called, a five-headed demon called Murasura. And in the Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a beautiful description of Naragasura's fort and Naragasura's fighting capacity, fighting ability. All these things are mentioned there in detail. Powerful Maya he could apply to the enemies, and he had a tremendous fighting spirit. It was practically impossible to break through Naragasura's fort and attack them. Many, many other people have tried in the past. They have all failed. So everyone knew the strength of Naragasura, and they didn't want to upset him. So most of them sent their daughters or princesses who were ready for the marriage along with their servant maids and together to Naragasura's palace. So altogether, Naragasura had 16,100 girls in the palace who have come like this. And Naragasura has put them all in a large palace inside, and he kept them there. Naragasura also promised in his letter to all the kings that as soon as we find a suitable husband, we'll marry these girls and send them over to them. Otherwise, because of Krishna's presence in Dwaraka, we are not sure whether you will be able to conduct their marriages properly, and therefore I have taken the responsibility in doing so. This was Naragasura's message to all the kings in the whole world. Naragasura sends his message and sits comfortably there. And this news also, Krishna came to know about it, what Naragasura has done. When Krishna heard about all this message, what he has sent to the kings, Krishna was very amused by hearing this. So it was then that that Krishna felt that these girls, what will happen to them? Naragasura has kept them in the palace. So now it has become a catalyst for Krishna to do something about it. A discussion was made in the assembly, and with the discussion, Krishna decided that he has to attack Naragasura in Pragyodishapuram. So in order to attack, there was a little problem there. This Naragasura is actually Krishna's son. This is the problem. how it happened was, when Krishna appeared in the Varaha appearance, when he came in the Varaha Murti, in the early appearance of Krishna, in Varaha incarnation, Varaha Murti had a contact with Bhumi Devi. And from that, this demon, Naragasura, was born. So Naragasura was born from that Bhumi Devi's contact with Varaha Murti. Krishna was aware of this. So if I kill Naragasura like this, in this condition, Bhumi Devi will be very, very upset about it, because it's her son. And so therefore, Krishna had to find a way out from this. In other words, without Bhumi Devi's permission, Krishna cannot kill Naragasura. This was the complicated situation Krishna was facing then. So naturally, at that time, Krishna was thinking about attacking Naragasura. Naraga means hell. So he was a hellish man, personality, Naragasura. So Naragasura actually expected an attack from Krishna. So one day, Krishna thought, he spoke to Satyabhama about this. Satyabhama is a expansion of Bhumi Devi. So Krishna didn't mention about that. Satyabhama was not aware of all these things. If you ask Bhumi Devi, Bhumi Devi is not going to give permission to attack Naragasura, Naraga, or to kill him. So Krishna decided that since Satyabhama is an expansion of Bhumi Devi, rather Krishna will get the permission from Satyabhama. And that is how one day Krishna said to Satyabhama, how would you like to fly around for a while? And saying this, Krishna invited Garuda and got on top of Garuda with Satyabhama and started traveling. When they started traveling, Satyabhama asked Krishna, where are we proceeding to? Krishna says, I will show you some of the very interesting scenes in this place, and showed Naragasura's fort and the palaces. It says in the Srimad Bhagavatam how that fort was guarded. It was guarded with water, with fire, with air, all different kinds of material elements, and different fences were provided through this power. And very powerful demon he was, that he had a lot of technology also with him, how to use the material elements in defense. So he has seen all these things, and Krishna came with Satyabhama and told Satyabhama about this demon, and he wanted to fight with him. When Krishna attacked Prajyotishapuram, Naragasura's palace, Murasura came out first to face Krishna. And this Murasura employed very powerful weapons against Krishna. So Krishna and Murasura, they had very severe fight happened between Krishna and Murasura. And in that fight, Murasura got killed. When Murasura was killed, Naragasura got very upset. And Naragasura got prepared himself to fight with Krishna, and he came to fight with a massive army and with very powerful weapons. Krishna and Naragasura fought for quite some time. Neither were winning. And at that time, Krishna started acting as though he is getting tired from the fight. At that time, Satyabhama has a similar nature. Satyabhama is very good to go for war. She was very enthusiastic, like you have seen. She is so different from all the other wives, unlike Rukmini Devi, Jambavati, or Kalindi, or Mitravinda. Satyabhama was particularly different, her nature. She was very fiery, in other words, it was says in the Srimad Bhagavatam like that about Satyabhama. So Satyabhama says to Krishna, that what are we waiting for? Why don't we kill him? Ask Krishna to kill him. That's all Krishna wanted, a word from Satyabhama, because that gives permission from the mother to kill the son. So Satyabhama, did not knowing anything, given the permission to Krishna to attack Naragasura and kill him, and Krishna killed Naragasura straight away, without any delay. As soon as Naragasura was killed, Naragasura's son Bhagadatta, he was brought forward by Bhumi Devi, came there. Bhumi Devi appeared there and started glorifying Krishna. That is why several verses in this last chapter you will find Sri Bhumi Ruvaja, Bhumi Devi glorifying Krishna in different ways, and brought back Bhagadatta and told Krishna to give him protection, Naragasura's son, Bhumi Devi's grandson. So Krishna was very pleased to do so, but he told certain things to Bhagadatta at that time, that in Prajyotishapuram, that is in Naragasura's palace, therefore there was 64 elephants who had four trunks each. Normally elephants have two trunks, isn't it? But they had four trunks, four tusks. And these elephants were very special. And Krishna says to Bhagadatta, keep one of them here and send the remaining 63 to Dwaraka. He says, I need them there. Krishna wanted to increase the opulence by taking even the reconstance, this four tusked elephants from there. So the 63 were sent to Dwaraka. One was left behind in Prajyotishapuram. And then what happened was that Krishna has told Bhagadatta that he should release all these 16,100 girls from the prison. So Bhagadatta immediately obliged Krishna by doing so. Krishna told Bhagadatta to send them back to their own palaces where they came from different kingdoms they have come. Send them back to all their own palaces, Krishna said. But all these 16,100 girls, they came up to Krishna and told them not to do so. Why? What was the reason behind it? Because they knew that if they go back, the possibility was finding a husband for them would be very difficult. Reason being that when they have spent so much time with Narakasura, naturally people will ask this question. When somebody comes to discuss the marriage, they will say to them in the Vedic system that, is this the girl who has spent the time with Narakasura or somebody else? This question will come up. And naturally they knew that there will be problems if they go back to their own palaces. So instead, what those girls mentioned, those the princesses, what they mentioned to Krishna was, Mahaprabhu, we are asking is, we could come to Dwaraka and stay in Dwaraka so that we could see you every day or sometime, often we could see you and feel satisfied with that. We are willing to make any service, we can offer any service to you, what you require. And in that way, as servant maids, we will like to spend our rest of our life in this world. This was the prayers from those princesses to Krishna. Krishna thought for a while about this. Krishna understood the problem. Problem is that if Krishna did not accept them, what will happen is they will have no position in the society. They will all be rejected everywhere. In other words, their life will be really hell for them. That means they will not find any husbands for them to marry. And not only that, in future it will be very, very uncertain for them. On the other hand, I am the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I can marry not one, two, 16,000, even 16 million. It will not disturb my life in any way. Krishna was not going to be affected by anything, any of these things. So in order to show Krishna's position as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna decided, and out of compassion for those princesses who were kept in prison by Narakasura, Krishna decided to marry all of them in one stretch, in one time. He married all the 16,100 wives. So you can imagine, when this marriage was celebrated in Dwaraka, Krishna had to expand himself into 16,100 forms. And 16,100 Vasudev, 16,100 Devaki had to be present there in the marriage. And it was such a big occasion of marriage of the 16,100 girls, and they were protected and saved from a disaster which otherwise would have happened to them. So Krishna, purely out of compassion for those princesses, married them and took them to Dwaraka. With this, now Krishna had 16,108 wives in Dwaraka. So after this incident, Krishna and Satyabhama from Prajyotishapuram recovered the eardrops of Aditi Devi, which Narakasura had been keeping there. He took them, went to see Indra there, and handed over the eardrops to Indra. Indra was very pleased with this help from Krishna. How Krishna has got it back for Aditi Devi. They all paid their obeisances to Krishna. And later on, similarly, Varuna's umbrella was also recovered, and that was also delivered to Varuna. They were all satisfied with Krishna's help. How Krishna has recovered these things from Narakasura. But while coming back from the heavenly planets, Satyabhama somehow smelled the Parijada flower. And Satyabhama wanted to have this Parijada flower brought to this earthly planet, to Dwaraka. So while coming back, Krishna broke one of the branches of this Parijada tree and took it with him. As soon as the demigods came to know about it, they wanted to fight with Krishna about this. They got up and they wanted to have a fight with Krishna. How can someone come from the earthly planet and take away things from here without being given permission from anyone? And Sukadeva Goswami in the Srimad Bhagavatam make fool of these demigods who are living there about this incident. He says, Mahanaho suranam jatamodhigaduram. Mahanaho suranam jatamodhigadhyadam. Adhyadam. Adhyadam means their pride of aristocracy. What a pride Sri Shukan says about Sudeva Goswami, says about the Sudeva Goswami says about this to Parishit Maharaj. Look at their pride. Only a few weeks ago they have come and were asking help from Krishna for protection from Naragasura. And Krishna has killed Naragasura and got them back what they have lost and given it back to them. And they paid their obeisances, but just for taking one Parijada tree, branch of a Parijada tree, and taking it and going away from there, they've gone for war with Krishna. Look at their arrogance. That is how Sudeva Goswami says about that. That Sudeva Goswami is naturally very irritated with that mentality of the demigods. Ahanaho suranam jatamodhigadhyadam. That mahanaho suranam jatamodhigadhyadam. This is how demigods are. They get, even for a small thing, they make it a matter of pride and they wanted to fight with Krishna. Krishna also decided that this is the right time to teach them a lesson. So he also fought with them and threw them out from there, all of them, and came back with Satyabhama and the branch of the Parijada tree. After bringing that Parijada tree, there is a lot of things happened in Dwaraka. There is a big story about it, that when the Parijada tree was brought home to Dwaraka, it was to be planted. So the planting ceremony, that was a big thing. After all, Parijadam is a very special tree, and from the heavenly planets. And naturally, it was to be planted in Satyabhama's palace. But Sri Narada Maharshi and Krishna had planned something else from this. They wanted to see Satyabhama's nature. They wanted to experience how she reacts in certain situations. So when they brought this branch of the Parijada tree, when they planted that in Satyabhama's palace, while planting it, they wanted to know how to plant this branch. Krishna says, I have no idea. I have not done these things before. This is only out of Satyabhama's insistence that Krishna has broke this branch of the tree and brought it. Krishna didn't want to get involved. Then somebody else said, Balaram might know it, because Balaram is a big farmer, isn't it? You have seen his plow on his shoulders, which is the weapon of a Balaram. And this plow is indication Balaram is known as a great farmer. So they thought they will ask Balaram about it. So Balaram came to the scene, and Balaram also said, I have no idea, because I am only used to the agriculture in this planet. I have no information how it's done in the heavenly planets. So Balaram also kept out of it. And then comes Sri Narada Maharshi in the middle of all these things. Narada Muni comes there. Narada Muni says, there is no problem. This has to be done in a particular way. It is all planned by Narada Maharshi and Krishna together. All has its different reasons also, why all these things have happened. So when the Parijadam tree was planted, Sri Narada Maharshi made all the arrangements. And the tree was planted in such a way, when the tree grew, after a while, it started going towards Rukmini Devi's palace. And by then, what has happened was, it started flowering. And the Parijada flower was in Rukmini Devi's palace. The branch went into that side. This was enough for Rukmini and Satyabhama to have a fight over this. That Satyabhama mentioned it to Krishna, that this was done deliberately by you. And Satyabhama became so wild on that day with Krishna and made a big quarrel at home. Krishna was enjoying all these things, the way it was happening. Satyabhama's mood and Satyabhama's anger, everything Krishna has experienced that day. So everything was in Krishna's mind. And Rukmini Devi, as usual, was very, very calm and peaceful. Never once she has got upset or angry in throughout her time in Dwaraka. So two different nature. And later on, after this incident, the Krishna has made some arrangements with Satyabhama. Satyabhama was pacified and that incident was forgotten later on. But Krishna hasn't forgotten, it was in Krishna's mind, how Satyabhama got upset about this Parijada Avaharanam from heavenly planets and the planting of the tree. All this is in that chapter. Now, we discuss the next chapter, which is the 60th chapter. This chapter has some very special significance. As I mentioned before, all the stories in the Srimad Bhagavatam, they have certain messages to the human society in order to mold one's own life in that particular way. The reason is that all the personalities who come through the Purana stories in the Puranams or the Srimad Bhagavatam and so other Puranas, they tell us that in life in this world also, if one does not act in a particular way, life can become very difficult. And the result will be that one will waste a lot of time in unnecessary things and eventually the purpose of living in this world is lost. So in order to guide the human society in the right direction, all the Puranas, personalities in the Puranams, all the different personalities, they will bring forth different understanding to us so that we can learn from their instructions and accordingly live on their advice, on their experiences or their pastimes, what they have performed. Some of the personalities will tell us, you should act like us. Some of them will say, don't become like this. So, Anvayam Vidirekabhyam, it says in the Bhagavatam, that somebody tells us to become like this, someone tells us not to become like them. So, like this, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in this particular chapter, in the 60th chapter, is the story of a talks between Krishna and Rukmini in the palace. How this incident happened. After this marriages, 16,108 marriages have happened. Krishna has married. And after that 16,108 marriages, Krishna's family has become very big. From each of the wives, Krishna had 10 sons and one daughter. So you can imagine the size of Krishna's family by now. It was so big. That family was so big. And then Krishna had children, grandchildren. Pradyumna was born as Krishna's eldest son from Rukmini. And from Pradyumna, then he had his son as Aniruddha. And Aniruddha has also got married. So the whole family of Krishna, that means by age also, Krishna has grown, how to say that, Krishna was not any more young according to our material calculations. But he was advanced in age in this world. But although in appearance Krishna is always navayavanamcha, always youthful. But he has spent so many years and the family has grown very big. This was the situation. So when all these things have happened, this is when this story is happening in Dwaraka. This particular incident happens in Dwaraka at this time. After so many years of marriage, people may think that, oh, normally when you get married, after a few days itself, the fight starts, isn't it? And then, if normal situation, if it lasts more than a week, sometimes it may last a little bit longer. But quite often, it finishes very quickly. They fight each other, and one goes one direction, another one goes in another direction. And that's it. So, but here, in Krishna's, but normally that happens in the early years in the marriage. And people may think that this has happened in the early years, but it didn't. It actually happened much, much later. Many, many years after Krishna has married all these princesses and Rukmini Devi and other wives. So that is the background of this marriage of Krishna's discussion with Rukmini. So one day, Krishna was it was a Purnami day. Purnami day means full moon day. Like today is a full moon day, isn't it? Today is a full moon day. So it was like a full moon day like this. And on a full moon day, And also on the new moon day, there are special offerings in the temple for Durga Devi. That was the system in those days in Dwaraka. And special offerings were made, so therefore naturally there was some delay in the palace for the dinner. Generally, Krishna used to have dinner with Vasudeva and Devaki, Balaram, Krishna. They all sat together and had dinner together. That was the time when Krishna used to visit the parents. So Krishna came for the dinner, and he noticed that day that there is some delay. Uddhava came and told Krishna, because of this Paurnami offerings to Durga Devi in the temple, there is some delay till the offerings are made. Only after that, prasadam is served to everybody. So Krishna was in a mood to thinking how to spend the time now, because there was some delay for the... Krishna had no other plans that night. And also on such days, Balaram, Vasudeva and Devaki also used to spend time in other activities related with their own spiritual activities, whatever that was the particular time they had to do. So Balaram was going to be a bit late. Vasudeva and Devaki were going to be late. Krishna had nothing particular to do. So Krishna told Uddhava that I am just going to visit, see and see. I'll spend some time with Rukmini. Krishna thinks like that. And goes to Rukmini's palace. Walked into Rukmini's palace. When Krishna approached Rukmini's palace, naturally, Rukmini saw Krishna from a distance coming into the palace at that time. So immediately, Rukmini got up. And there was a system how Rukmini welcomed Krishna to the palace. How Rukmini used to deal with Krishna. And it is from Krishna, the others have also learned how to behave with Krishna, how to deal with Krishna. In other words, Rukmini was their role model. Rukmini was guiding them in how to deal with Krishna. All the other 16,107 wives of Krishna dealt with Krishna learning from Rukmini. Because Rukmini was the senior most, the first wife, as well as she was the most mature personality there who dealt with Krishna and most satisfying to Krishna. And so therefore, Surya Goswami says here, Pratyudgamasanavararhanam Pada Shauja Tambula Vishramana Vijanagandha Valyaihi Kesha Prasara Shaina Snapanobaharir Dasi Shatam Abhivibhor Vidadusmadasyam. When Krishna comes to the palace, this is the procedure. Pratyudgamasana Vararhana Pada Shauja Tambula Vishramana Vijanagandha Valyaihi. That as soon as Krishna comes, as soon as they see Krishna coming, they'll get up from their seat. They will go and welcome Krishna and bring him into the palace. Pratyudgamasanam, and then offer Krishna a seat to sit down. Vararhana pada shaujam, and then clean, they will wash themselves Krishna's lotus feet. Although they had many maids to assist them. It says here, Dasi shadam abhivibhor vidadusmadasyam. They had several hundreds of Dasi Shadam Abhivibhor. They had hundreds of servant maids or maids to assist these wives of Krishna. But still, they will do it themselves. They won't allow any of them to do it. They will themselves wash Krishna's lotus feet. After that, they will offer, if it was the time for light prasadam, they will offer some light prasadam to Krishna. Or if it was for the main meal time, they will offer the main prasadam for Krishna. They were all prepared and ready to offer that to Krishna. In addition to that, they will offer them betel leaves and betel nuts for them. Tambulam was offered to them. Tambula vishramana vijana gandham alehi. That everything according to the tradition they performed to please Krishna. Pratyudgamasana vararhana pada shaujam. Tambula vishramana vijana gandham alehi. Keshaprasara shainam. Kesaprasara Shnayana Snapano Bahariir Dasi Shadam Abhivibho Vidados Madhasyam. That everything to please Krishna, as much as Rukmini Devi has developed a particular procedure, and that is how one should do that, and that is this verse. And according to that, Rukmini Devi had a system. She has organized in that way, and that was followed by everybody in due course. So Krishna came over and saw Rukmini Devi there, and after seeing Rukmini, Krishna was in a very serious mood, wasn't saying anything, came and sat somewhere, and Rukmini sensed that Krishna was not in a very happy mood. Krishna was not in a happy mood. So while sitting there, Krishna was in a very thoughtful situation, and Rukmini was observing. Rukmini took the chamaram, the one chamaram, and started fanning Krishna at that time. And while fanning, Krishna was still thinking what how to spend the time. He hasn't, this is another about 45 minutes or an hour or so. He had to pass the time, just like we say how to pass the time, isn't it? So Krishna was also thinking how to pass this time. It was then that Parijadavana Amodam Vayino Dhyana Shalinaha, that immediately there was a cool breeze came from outside, and in that breeze the smell of Parijada flower also came. When the Parijada flower came, smell came, Krishna immediately remembered what happened with Satyabhama on that day with this Parijada tree. So all those thoughts also came along with the breeze. It says like that, Parijadavana Amodam Vayino Dhyana Shalinaha, that air that came with the Parijada flower, along with that, the thoughts of bringing the Parijadam from the heavenly planets, planting that, and the day Satyabhama acted so wild and fiery, with fighting with everybody, all these thoughts have come back to Krishna's mind on that day. So when these thoughts came, Krishna started thinking like this, I have seen Satyabhama, how she gets angry and how she behaves. But this Rukmini never once has got angry. And sometimes it's nice to see someone when he's angry, what it's like. So Krishna had thought this, but what to do? If he say to Rukmini, Rukmini, can you show me how you are when you get angry? It won't have the same effect, would it? Because naturally you can imagine, acting is one thing, but when you are really face the situation, how you will act, that will be a total different thing. So Krishna knew this and decided that somehow or the other I have to see this Rukmini's reaction to this. There were another couple of reasons also why Krishna decided to pursue this. Number one was, one reason was that Rukmini had a special capacity apparently to talk very critically about people who are addicted to sense gratification, Vishayis. Those who are sense enjoyers, Rukmini used to be very critical of them, number one. And also the sense objects. Sense objects and sense gratifiers or sense enjoyers. Rukmini used to be very critical of them. And she had a very special capacity to talk in a very powerful way about that, which Krishna used to listen sometimes. Secondly, Rukmini was so polite and humble that Krishna, Rukmini had almost a little pride in that. It's not possible to say pride, but Rukmini used to feel that I have no pride. I never had any, unlike anyone else in Krishna's large family, Rukmini was the only personality who felt that she didn't have a pride in her heart. Now when someone feels that I have no pride, that itself is a pride, isn't it? So this was the situation with Rukmini. So Krishna decided that perhaps I have to get rid of that also from Rukmini's heart, that thought also from there. And this was another reason why Krishna had was been thinking in this direction. So Krishna sat there with seriously thinking about so many things, and Rukmini was fanning Krishna. And there was still time to go. So it was then also, it came to Krishna's mind that Rukmini Devi was standing, Sri Shukan says in the Srimad Bhagavatam, that Rukmini Devi looked very beautiful at that time. Why so beautiful? When the husband and the wife stands together, the wife should look beautiful as a match for the husband, isn't it? Otherwise, husband is nicely dressed up, Wife looks very awkward altogether, doesn't care anything. That's not a good situation. So Sudeva Goswami says there, Anirupa Rupadam, that just like Sudeva Goswami says, if Mahalakshmi has gone and dressed up and done a complete makeup and come, and that is how Rukmini Devi looked at that time. She looked so beautiful with Krishna. And Krishna's situation, better not to say. When Krishna exhibits his beauty, sometimes Krishna himself used to get amazed by his beauty. One day, by chance, Krishna saw himself in the reflection of in a mirror. Vismabanam sosaya saubhagardhe. In the third canto, you can see Uddhava, while speaking to Vidura, he said, Vismabanam sosaya saubhagardhe. That Krishna himself was amazed by seeing his own beauty. So Krishna was looking very beautiful. And along with that, Rukmini Devi was standing next to Krishna and fanning him. And together they looked so beautiful. Because of Rukmini Devi was looking really beautiful after, so Mahalakshmi has come out fully dressed up to receive her husband. And that is how it was. So that scene, Sukadeva Goswami mentioned this to Parikshit Maharaj at that time. Krishna sat there and for some time, Krishna didn't say anything. Afterwards, Krishna turned and started looking at Rukmini Devi in a very serious mode. Kept on looking very seriously. Very unusual thing. Krishna never used to do like that before. The interesting thing here is, normally, it's not unusual. After marriage, the first few days, husband will have a look at the wife. Wife will look at the husband. That is normal in this world. But here we are talking about after marriage, 60, 70 years have gone. And now the husband is looking at the wife. And the wife looking at the husband. This is a very strange situation. So Rukmini Devi felt, why Krishna is looking at me like this? Never used to look at me in this way. Because after so many years of marriage, married life, the husband would have come to some understanding of life in this world. And perhaps preparing himself to go away from this world. And at that time, all the other material desires, everything is more or less fulfilled. But immediately after the marriage, it is not like that. The husband will like to see the beauty of his wife. And the wife will also like to see the beauty of the husband. This is quite common. But here it was a situation, after so many years, he has got children, grandchildren, more like a grandfather. And grandfather is looking at the grandmother like this. So naturally, it was a bit amusing situation for Rukmini Devi. Why Krishna is looking at me like this, as though I'm just a newly married wife. That kind of thought has come to Rukmini Devi. And Rukmini Devi, without saying it, without keeping the, without, Rukmini Devi did not want to upset Krishna, but in a very nice way asked Krishna, why are you looking at me like this? Rukmini Devi mentioned this to Krishna. Krishna said, very seriously, Krishna answers, I was just thinking, he says. I was just thinking. Rukmini Devi said, what? Krishna won't reveal further. Kept saying like this, no, the fate of so many people in this world. Krishna starts the conversation like this. Krishna was saying to Rukmini that I was just thinking the fate of so many people in this world. So Rukmini Devi said, tell me what has happened. What is that is disturbing you? Rukmini Devi mentioned this to Krishna. No, it is not disturbing me. Actually, what it is, Krishna says, that every time when I think about it, I find that how powerful the destiny is, he says. Krishna still won't say what Krishna is thinking. He says how powerful the destiny is in people's life. They get affected by the destiny and they have to suffer in this world. So, Krishna kept mentioning this a few times. So, eventually, Rukmini Devi said to Krishna that if you don't tell me what it is, I am getting very disturbed about your words, why you are saying like this. There must be something disturbing you. Krishna says, yes, it has not been disturbing today. It has not started today, he says. It has been disturbing for months together now. This has been going through my mind, what I should do about it. So, the more and more anxiety started building up in Rukmini's mind. Rukmini started thinking, there is something more seriously disturbing Krishna. So again she started pleading to Krishna, please tell me whatever that is so that we can find a solution together for this problem. So Rukmini was saying and trying to pacify Krishna. Krishna is saying, what can we do? What is the point in discussing with you? Because whole thing has happened now. So many years have gone. And your life is spoiled. My life is spoiled also. What can we do about it? In this way, he won't openly say the thing, but backwards and forwards started talking like this. Simply to develop the anxiety in Rukmini's mind. And kept looking at Rukmini and thinking, little bit anger is building up inside. Wanted to irritate Rukmini as much as possible. That was the intention behind it. So Krishna spoke like this, and after a while, Rukmini says to Krishna, if you don't tell me about this, how can I discuss anything with you? And Rukmini put forward her position. At that time, Krishna opened up and said, Rukmini, I have only one question to ask you. The question is this. Is our marriage a successful one? This was the marriage. Is our marriage a successful one? Marriages happened 60 years ago. And today, after 60 years, children, grandchildren have all come. And Krishna, I was just thinking, Krishna says to Rukmini. Rukmini thought, if this question is asked some years back, it meant something. But today, after all these grandchildren, suddenly one man is thinking that is our marriage is a successful one. This is the time this thought is coming back. Rukmini thought it was very funny, such a question to come from Krishna. So immediately Rukmini answered back to Krishna that, what's wrong with our marriage? Rukmini said, what has gone wrong? What has gone wrong? Krishna says, everything has gone wrong. He says, everything went wrong. So Rukmini says, tell me what has gone wrong. Rukmini, Krishna says to Rukmini, marriage is normally between two people, a man and a woman. And when they get married, there are so many things to consider while marrying, isn't it? There are so many things to consider. If those things are not considered, then marriage is not properly done. This is how the verdict of the Shastras. For example, the wealth of both sides, the members of the family, they have to be matching each other. Then their aristocracy, the family background of the both the families, the girls and the boys' family, their background. Then in addition to that, the education of the husband and the wife. Then plus the age is also another factor they have to consider. For example, if a person who is 80 years old marries a 20-year-old girl, that doesn't also look appropriate. There is a problem there. So that doesn't match. And sometimes it can also happen that the marriage between not properly balanced families, in the sense that if the husband is very rich and the wife is very poor, then after the marriage there could be some problems. Sometimes my husband may say that I didn't marry you seeing anything that I'm going to get from you. Or some comments may come out like this when there is an argument. So things can happen like this. So therefore, marriage has to have certain standards are set for marriages, or specifications are drawn out for before the marriage. So that when they are being matched together. So this was the system then. So Krishna was saying to Rukmini, look at our situation. Who are you? You are the daughter of the king of Vidarbha. Means a very powerful king, a very highly respected aristocratic royal family you are coming from. Look at my background. People say that I have come from Vrindavanam. I was living in the forest. Most of the people know of me as only as a member of the family member of the people living in the forest. They consider me, they think that I am a cowboy. I have nothing else to offer. So I have no background really, strictly speaking. And you have married me for what? This was Krishna's question to Rukmini. It doesn't look right that the princess of Vidarbha, the daughter of the king of Vidarbha, who is such an aristocratic personality and who is so wealthy, and his social circle also is very, very wide. Big kings and princes and many royal families, they all pay their respects to the king of Vidarbha. And he is such a powerful king. And you are the daughter of that king, and you have come and married me, who are just is nothing but a cowboy from Vrindavanam. I was just a cowherd and tending cows, and that is it. That's my background. That doesn't match, Krishna says. That doesn't match. It's no match at all. So aristocracy is concerned, no match. Now family background is concerned, no match at all. Then if you take the other things, then the society is concerned. My society, what is my society? I am told that I was a thief stealing butter and butter and yogurt and things like that in Vrindavanam. That is my background. Whereas you are, and not only that, even my own father was in the prison for a long time. Vasudeva referred to Vasudeva. Krishna says, my father was in the prison for many years. And he has just come out from the prison some time ago, and now he is here. But otherwise, his society and social circle is not very good. Whereas King of Vidarbha and his society and social life is in a completely different level. So there is no comparison there either. Wealth-wise, there is no comparison. The family background is no comparison at all. Again, you are from a royal family. And not only you are from a royal family, naturally your background and your education is so different. What is my education? Some people say, I have hardly attended one term in the school. That's how much time Krishna has gone to school. 64 days, it says there. Chadushashtrishmatrairahobhi sarvajnyatvam sahamusalinam sarvavidyam grihitvam. In 64 days, all what one has to learn, Krishna has learned. Chadushashtrishmatrairahobhi sarvajnyatvam sahamusalinam sarvavidyam grihitvam. That along with Balaram, Krishna went to Sandivani Muni's ashram and spent 64 days learning the 64 arts. But Krishna put it this way, that 64 days, not less than a term, that's how much time I have attended the school. And you, who are so educated by the great, great scholars in the palace, you are not a match for me. So Krishna started saying one after the other, everything was not matching at all. Now Krishna says about the beauty. About my beauty, what shall I say? Krishna says to Rukmini Devi. People start speaking about me different things. I have got a lot of followers. They keep telling me I am very beautiful. But I know how beautiful I am, Krishna says to him. People will come to me because they want to get something from me. So they will say to me like this, Saundaryottara dobe sundaradaram. Out of all the beautiful things, you are the most beautiful. Saundaryottara dobe sundaradaram tondrubam ascharya dobe ascharyam. Everything what is wonderful, you are the most wonderful thing. Like this, they'll come and glorify me because they want to get something from me. But I know, look at my body. Some people compare me with the clouds in the sky, dark cloud. So I'm virtually, strictly speaking, in the Sanskrit language, in Sanskrit, if you say, Nila Meha Shyamala Gomalan, that is the way Krishna is described in the Sanskrit language. But if you translate that into another language, it will look very funny also. Someone who looks like a dark cloud, if you say like that to somebody, it doesn't look very impressive to anyone. So Krishna says to Rukmini Devi, look at your situation and my situation. And people still say I am looking very beautiful, but I know what my beauty is. So Krishna started saying there also there is no agreement. Now forget about all these things, Krishna says. Even on those accounts, there is no match between us. But more than that, worst thing is, Krishna says, that look, all your family members, they are all so wealthy. And they live in such opulent conditions and wealthy way. Their family life is so powerful they were, that my own situation, my associates, have you seen my associates coming to see me? Krishna says to Rukmini. None of them are very wealthy, are they? Most of them who take my shelter are very poor people. And they are these, some of them are these sannyasis, they come with a long beard, with a danda in the hand. All your people who come to see you, they all have very expensive jewels on their neck. And even the princess, when they come to see you, they wear from your family. When they come to see you, they are wearing such expensive jewels on their arms and chest and everywhere. And they look very impressive, very, very wealthy looking very opulent in every way. But people who come to see me, what are they like? They are wearing saffron clothes. They don't even have a wallet. Instead of wallet, they have got a beach bag in their hand. These are my associates who come to see me. The whole thing, Krishna put it into Rukmini in such a way that Krishna is not the right match for Rukmini. Krishna has concluded like that. These devotees, they come to me because they want something from me. They come to me with the hands in the beach bag, chanting the holy name. And chanting Krishna, my name, and they come to me. These are my friends. They don't even have a wallet with them. They have no money because they are so poor. These are my So-called social life is like this. And look at your people who come to see you, how wealthy they are. So Krishna was proving a point to Rukmini that it is this relationship between us doesn't look right. Krishna says to Rukmini, it doesn't look right. Our relationship doesn't look very right. Somehow it has all happened like this. Saying all these things, Krishna was looking at Rukmini. What is the reaction now coming from Rukmini's mind? Rukmini was getting a little confused about all these things. How to answer these questions? It's very complicated questions all. In reality, what Krishna has spoken externally, if you look at it, it all makes correct also that in many ways the associates of Krishna were like that. The people who came to see Krishna were like that. And also the background and the conditions, what Krishna has put forward about the society, everything looked right to Rukmini also, but Rukmini didn't say anything. Then immediately Rukmini got a little upset and said to Krishna, if this is all known to you before, why did you marry me then? That was the next question from Rukmini. Why did you marry me? I mean, that is not very difficult to explain, Krishna says at that time. Krishna is enjoying it by now. He's getting angry a little bit more now. That's all he wanted. Krishna wanted that. Krishna is just winding Rukmini up to get angry about it. Krishna says to Rukmini, if you are thinking that I married you, seeing your beauty, don't misunderstand me, he says. Krishna says, you're completely wrong, that I just married you because you are so beautiful and then I wanted to have a relationship with you. No, I had no such intention, Krishna says to Rukmini. So Rukmini says, then what on earth, why did you marry me then, if that is not the case? Then Krishna says, I had only one reason, one and one reason only for which I married you. Then Rukmini says, what? That was just to insult Shishupala that day. That was my only intention, nothing else, Krishna says. I just wanted to insult Shishupala. Shishupala is my enemy from day one, I knew. And this was the best opportunity I got to insult Shishupala, because I knew that this marriage was arranged with Shishupala. And Shishupala was coming for the marriage. And if you can steal his wife right at the middle of the marriage, is there much bigger insult for a Kshatriya than that? This was Krishna's point. Krishna says, I've done this only to insult Shishupala. Rukmini says to Krishna, you are very cruel because you have destroyed my life by doing this then. So that was immediate response from Rukmini. Krishna says to Rukmini, but do you remember what happened on that day of marriage? Krishna says to Rukmini, what happened? What happened was that when Rukmini was stolen from there, Shishupala was pacified by Jarasandha and many other kings, all his so-called associates. They all came to Shishupala and they told Shishupala, Shishupala, don't worry, these things do happen. Bho bho purushashardhula. That is how in the Srimad Bhagavatam it says, don't take notice of all these things what has happened. We will find another girl for you to marry. And in life sometimes these things do happen when the time is not right. And like this, in a philosophical way, they were trying to pacify Shishupala. So do you remember hearing all these things, what has happened? Krishna says to Rukmini. So now all I can tell you one thing, Krishna says to Rukmini. All you have to do is one thing. That good time has gone now. The bad time has gone for Shishupala and the good time has come now. That means, if you want to go back to Shishupala and marry him, I have no objection, Rukmini. You can leave right now or even tomorrow morning. I have no problem with that. Saying this, Krishna turned from this side to that side and started looking to the other side, opposite side. Rukmini started sweating. Now, what is going to happen? Because there is a reason behind it. When Krishna came as Lord Ramachandra, at the last minute before departing from this world in Ayodhya, one morning, Krishna asked Lakshmana to take Sita Devi to the forest and leave her there. If you remember that, in the Ramayana, we discussed this in the 9th canto, in the Uttara Ramayana, this story comes there. That Rukmini Devi now here is Sita Devi then, isn't it? In Ramachandra's appearance, it was Sita Devi. And now it is the same personality has come as Rukmini Devi. So Rukmini, those thoughts have come back to Rukmini. Is that the same idea now? That is he thinking of leaving me again? This was the thought came to Rukmini's mind. And that is why it upset Rukmini very much. When Krishna spoke like this, it upset Rukmini a lot. That why is Krishna saying like this? That at this point in time, that after so many years in marriage, is that time has come to leave me again. This thought came to Rukmini's mind. There is also another side of that. Rukmini also thought that last time, because of leaving me in the forest like that and getting rid of me from the palace, many people criticized Lord Ramachandra, including Valmiki, isn't it? So, but this time, probably, and because that time Krishna, Ramachandra did that without any notice. Even I wasn't told. Lakshmana took me to the forest, and in the forest I was told by Lakshmana that this is the instruction to leave you here. But this time, probably Krishna is aware of that and decided to inform in advance before sending me away. Is that the reason behind it? That way also Rukmini's mind went that time. So you can see Rukmini's anxiety at this point that will Krishna abandon me? This was the thought in Rukmini's heart. Now, you may wonder why this is such a big thing, isn't it? Most of us will say like that in our marriage also. If husband says to my wife, today if it happens, there is no problem. Or if the husband says to the wife, I am leaving you, fine, she will say. And if she says, or the girl also says, then the husband will say, okay. We have developed such beautiful systems to cope with all these kind of things. That's our success in the Kali Yuga. Whereas in those days it was different. They were concerned about marriage in a different way. So whatever it is, that this was the main reason that Rukmini was worried about that what was going to happen. But there is more to it than that. Rukmini, if we want to know how a devotee feels when Krishna abandons you, only then you will understand these things. That for a devotee, the greatest loss is Krishna, not wealth, not anything else. In this world, for a devotee, like Rukmini Devi was the greatest devotee, Mahalakshmi herself, for her, separation from Krishna means that is the greatest loss in life. And that is why that very thought of leaving, Krishna leaving her, that suppose Krishna tells any one of us, I don't want to see you anymore here tomorrow morning. Don't come here to Bhaktivedanta Manor anymore. If Gogulananda says to any one of us, we will say, fine, we'll go somewhere else. Another temple, somewhere else we'll go and see somebody else we'll look at. But for a devotee, sincere devotee, like Rukmini Devi, separation from Krishna is very painful. For them, everything in life is the Supreme Personality, Krishna. Their attachment and the desire to serve Krishna, and that their loving relationship with Krishna is so powerful that when Krishna abandons them, they couldn't think anything further beyond, couldn't think anything after that. So that very feeling that Krishna is going to abandon me or Krishna is going to leave me, that has upset Rukmini very much. And as much as it has upset Rukmini, Krishna also wanted to see how Rukmini will react to this situation. There is a reason for that also. When Krishna was in Vrindavanam, that Krishna was not used to the kind of treatment like Rukmini Devi used to deal with Krishna. Rukmini Devi was so polite and also so pleasing in her relationship with Krishna. Not once she got upset with Krishna any time throughout her marriage. So controlled she was that Krishna used to get, it was difficult for Krishna to imagine that Rukmini was upset any time. But in Vrindavanam, Krishna was used to dealing with the gopis. And there the relationship was different. And there are many incidents happened in Vrindavanam. And Krishna has also enjoyed that relationship with the gopis also. One instance, it so happened that one day when Krishna went to see Radharani, and it was quite late in the night, and about 10 o'clock in the evening, Krishna told Chandravali that I'll come and see you at about 10 o'clock. Krishna got delayed at Radharani's house. So Krishna spent a lot of time at Radharani's place, and then suddenly realized that Krishna has given an appointment to Chandravali to meet her at 10. By then it was almost midnight. So many hours passed then. And then when the memory came that he had an appointment with Chandravali, Krishna immediately left the palace of Radharani. So while leaving Radharani's palace, the whole time with Radharani has gone into Krishna's mind, what he has spent the time with her. And after walking from Radharani's house to Chandravali's house, when he got to Chandravali's house, Chandravali was waiting there for Krishna to come. But because of the complete absorption in Radharani, when Krishna saw Chandravali, Krishna asked Chandravali, "How are you, Radharani?" As soon as Chandravali heard this, Chandravali understood where he was. "Where were you all this time?" You know what Chandravali answered? When Krishna answered Chandravali, Krishna asked Chandravali, "How are you?" Chandravali's reply to Krishna was, "Kshemam Kamsa." "Hey Kamsa, are you well?" This is the type of conversation Krishna used to have with the gopis. And Krishna used to enjoy this also. Radhayo vilajjido brahmaha. In the Gita Govindam, that is how the dealings with the gopis, Krishna used to get answers like that from the gopis, fiery answers. And they used to enjoy like this, speaking to each other. And Krishna was used to this in Vrindavanam with the gopis, personalities like Chandravali and so many other gopis. They used to speak to Krishna like this. And they were so affectionate at the same time and were a little bit envious of Krishna's special relationship with Radharani. So when Krishna asked Chandravali that, "How are you, Radharani?" Chandravali's answers were, "Very well, Kamsa." That was the answer. So you can see Chandravali's mood, how it is coming through in that little pastime in Vrindavanam. So Krishna enjoyed all these things with the gopis. But here the problem in Dwaraka is that there is no such discussion. Everyone is so respectful. And all the 16,108 wives, they are all in the same pattern all the time. Wherever you go, the conversation is very reverential. And so much respect everywhere. Krishna was not getting any happiness out of it. He was feeling that those days what he used to have. Except Satyabhama. Satyabhama used to give some answers like this now and then. And call with Krishna also. So today that was what the situation was. So when Krishna said this to Krishna didn't say all these things, but this is the situation. When Rukmini Devi heard all these things from Krishna, Rukmini Devi started getting worried, and she started the chamar which she was using to fan Krishna fell from her hand. That was the first thing happened. Chamar fell because the very thought of Krishna abandoning her has upset her so much. All the bangles are dropped off from the hand. The garland which was on her hair, that also started falling off. The hair started coming loose. And in a completely shaken condition, Rukmini Devi was going to fall. When Rukmini Devi was about to fall, Krishna held her. Krishna got her from the seat at this time. Up to this time, Krishna was observing what is happening. As soon as Krishna got up and started holding her, by now, Krishna had four hands. Bhagavatam says like that. Chaturbhujaha. That Krishna needed four hands to hold Rukmini Devi at that time and to protect her from falling down. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Name bhakta pranashyati. That you may think that you are going to fall, but you will not fall. That is what Krishna says. You will not fall. So the last minute, Krishna will hold you back. And this is the typical example of that. Rukmini was about to fall, but didn't fall. Before that, Krishna took her in his arms and immediately started speaking to Rukmini in a peaceful way. Brought some water and sprinkled on her face, on Rukmini's face, and left Rukmini's head on Krishna's lap and started speaking to Rukmini, saying to Rukmini, "Rukmini, why did you get so upset with me for this?" Rukmini's answer is there in the Bhagavatam. You have to read through that. It's a very long answer. Apparently, Krishna has found 16 faults in him and 2 faults in Rukmini. That is how in the Srimad Bhagavatam listed one after the other What are all my faults? Krishna says there. One after the other, Krishna says like that. So when this incident happened, after this, Rukmini says to Krishna, this was unnecessary, what you have done to me. That Rukmini got frightened, got her from there, as soon as she came to her senses, that Krishna has not abandoned her. Rukmini immediately, Krishna says to Rukmini, I have only spoken this to see how you will react to it. What not a bad thing, Rukmini thought, just to see how I will react to it, so speaking to me in this harsh way. Rukmini got up and in a very frightened mood stood away from Krishna with folded hands and said to Krishna, that if that was the intention behind it, what mistake did I do for me to be subject to this situation? Krishna says, no, you have not done anything wrong, but all I wanted to tell you was that I wanted to see when you get angry what it's like. So Rukmini says to Krishna, is it necessary that I have to get angry with you? Why should I get angry with you? This was Rukmini's words to Krishna. It is not proper for me to get angry with you, Rukmini says to Krishna. So Krishna says to Rukmini, no, but if I wanted to see you because you never got angry in your life. And that is the problem, Krishna says. I wanted to see you, how you look like when you get angry. This is why I have spoken like this. But actually, my dear Rukmini, you are my best devotee. And I totally accept you as my best devotee. And I always like to spend my time with you. I have no desire to abandon you, says. Rukmini says to Krishna, only a couple of minutes back you spoke in the opposite way. Told me to leave the place and go to Shishubala's house. And now you are telling me like this, you love me so much. This is all nonsense, Rukmini says to Krishna. You are completely trying to mess me around. He says, Rukmini was getting a little bit angry at that time. Krishna says, no, I am telling you the truth. I will tell you why it is like that, Krishna says to Rukmini. Rukmini says, let me speak now, Krishna says. And there is Krishna's answer to Rukmini for this question. Krishna says to Rukmini that, I wanted to see you angry. Why? Because we are in the householder life, Krishna says. Krishna's answer was that, in the householder life. In the householder life, there is one possibility. What is that? You can fight, isn't it? In no other ashram you have this choice. If you are a brahmachari, what will happen? If you get upset with the temple or temple management, the next thing what you do, you pack your bags and leave. Go to the next center, wherever you are welcome. So you have got so many centers all around the world. By the time you circle around the whole center, your life is over. The time is you can manage somehow. And if you are a sannyasi also, you can do the same thing. You take your danda and walk away with your air ticket. Wherever you want to go, you can go. No one will stop you from doing that. But what does a householder do? Householder, he will fight. And this is the happiness in life, fighting all the time at home. So Krishna says to Rukmini, this particular facility is only in the householder life. There is no other ashram which will give you this opportunity to fight. So I wanted to have the full benefit of this householder life, Krishna says to Rukmini like this. Let me take full advantage, because if I miss this chance, then I won't get it again to fight. Sometimes this fight can get into extremes. Krishna says also like this, that husband will say to wife a few things. The wife will reply back in double, gives it back. When wife gives back in double, husband gives treble back to her. So this will go for a while. And then he will speak to her about her family background, about her father, grandfather, the whole race, caste. Everything will be discussed by the husband. The wife will come back and reply the whole thing. You know. When it comes to the worst, the crisis, the pots and pans will start throwing in the house. The furniture will be flying in the living room. All these things, and one runs out of the house one way or the other. We are seeing all these things every day in this world, are we not? So this is the beauty of the householder ashram. Only in Grihastha ashram you can have all these things. In brahmachari, no chance. What can a brahmachari do? He has got his saffron dhoti and he has taken his Bhagavad Gita and beats back and he walks out wherever he can go. We can't fight with anybody because there is no one who will listen to you if you fight. But whereas this thing called marriage, Grihastha ashram, gives you a beautiful opportunity. You got your own house to fight. Nobody else has to know. So you can show all your manliness or femininity, whatever it is. and fight to your full potential and make a big battle from that. So this opportunity in household life, Krishna says, I didn't want to miss. I wanted to utilize that fully. So the Grihastha Ashramam has got this special benefit that you can fight. You can fight up to the end, at the bitter end you can fight. But nowhere else this opportunity is given. So Krishna says to Rukmini, this is why, but let me tell you, Krishna says to Rukmini, that I have not thought in that way about it, but I wanted to see you, how you get angry. That is all I have doing this. Immediately Rukmini said to Krishna, if that is the one, you should have told me that before. Got her from there and started looking at Krishna in a very angry mood and started answering back to Krishna all the 16 faults what Krishna has found with himself. Rukmini started turning it upside down in another way and started explaining to Krishna how she sees that, the 16 faults what Krishna has mentioned. We'll see a few of them, because 16 of them is too many to discuss. We haven't got that much time. But what Krishna said was, Rukmini said to Krishna was, first of all, your point was that you are a very poor person, that you haven't got enough wealth compared to my father, King of Vidarbha, and so many other big princes who came to marry me. But that is not true, because I know Vaishravana himself, Kubera, he is standing at your doorstep to serve you. And Mahalakshmi is always your servant, always serving your lotus feet. If they are doing that, there must be something more than that. Probably they know how wealthy you are. Many other ordinary people may not know your wealth. This is what Rukmini said. Rukmini says to Krishna like this, that in this life, to think that how wealthy he is, one does not know who is wealthy, how wealthy he is. But I know that Mahalakshmi is trying to serve your lotus feet. If Mahalakshmi is trying to serve somebody, that means that person has to be more wealthy than her. And Vaishravana or Kubera, he is also standing there like a beggar in Krishna's palace to see Krishna, to get his mercy. His own children were rescued by Krishna, Nalakubera and Manigriva. And from all these things I know that what is Krishna's wealth-wise, wealth condition is, how wealthy Krishna is. That was the first one. The second one was, as far as courage is concerned, that was another issue which Krishna has raised, that I am fearful of all these big powerful kings, and because of that I have gone and built this palace in the middle of the ocean and I live there in Dwaraka, fully fearful of all the kings there. Rukmini says that is not true, because the moment your bow, Sarangam, is vibrated, immediately the very sound of that bow will destroy these kings whom you consider as very powerful. They run away out of fear of that bow. That is your position as far as the courage is concerned. Number three, there was another interesting point which Krishna has raised, that anyone who takes shelter, they become penniless. This is Nishkinjanam. Nishkinjanasya bhagaval bhajano mukhasya parambiro gamishor bhavasagarasya sandarshanam vishainam adhayoshidam jaha handa handa vishabhakshanadopyasadhum. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says like this about that. Nishkinjana. Nishkinjanas are those people who have nothing. They are poor and their only wealth is Krishna. So they are the people who follow you, but if you really understand them, who they are, then you can appreciate them. Rukmini said to them, I am not a fool. I see little bit more than what you have spoken about them. These people who come to you, they are the most wealthy people. And no one can deny that, because their wealth is such that they have gone far beyond all these material calculations. In material world, we calculate someone's wealth based on the gold or the land or the bank balance or cash or whatever, stocks or whatever he has got. That is the way, materialist way of calculation of wealth. But Rukmini Devi says to Krishna that all those followers who come to you, who are following you, they are not like that. Their wealth is something different, and that wealth is not possible for me to measure them, because it's beyond my measurement. And they are such great personalities. Rukmini Devi says to Krishna, in this instance, you have to remember one story, which is, it's not a story, it's actually an incident what happened to one of the Goswamis. Probably some of you have heard this also. Jiva Goswami, who is the Rupa and Sanatana's nephew, after spend many years in Rupa and Sanatana's association, when Srila Jiva Goswami, after receiving instructions from Rupa and Sanatana, spent considerable amount of time in writing these commentaries on the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is known as the Shalsandarbhas, the Sandarbham. Though Jiva Goswami spent some time in Benares once, and in one instance, there was one person came to Jiva Goswami and wanted to serve him. He wanted to serve Jiva Goswami. So Jiva Goswami was a little bit unhappy to accept service from anybody. And Jiva Goswami told this person, why have you come to serve me? He says to Jiva Goswami that I want to serve you because I want to associate with you. Jiva Goswami says to him, I don't want anybody's association, because if I get your association, all that will happen is I have to adjust my life to suit your conditions, which I don't want to waste my time. I have other things to do. So better you leave me. He won't leave Jiva Goswami. He continued serving him. And he kept on with it. And Jiva Goswami continued watching him. But Jiva Goswami understood that this person had some hidden motive behind it of his service. Very conditional service, he thought. So one day, when Jiva Goswami was sitting alone, he comes up to Jiva Goswami and says to Jiva Goswami that I would like to serve you more and please give me the opportunity like that. At that point, Jiva Goswami looked at him and told him that what are you after? Are you interested in Krishna? If that's what you are interested, you have never asked me anything about Krishna. Simply you kept telling me you want to serve me. But I'm not sure whether you are really interested in Krishna or you have some other intentions behind it. After all, Jiva Goswami was a very great personality and very much the embodiment of devotion. And so Jiva Goswami put this to him that either you tell me what purpose you are after me. If something I can give you, I'll give it to you. But don't bother me if you don't want to be here. Then if you have something in other interest in your mind, let me know. So immediately he thought he will reveal his mind. The person had heard from somewhere that Jiva Goswami had this thing called a touchstone. Touchstone, sparshamani they call it. Touchstone means with this touchstone, if you touch anything, it turns into gold. So he had come to know that Jiva Goswami had a touchstone. And so Jiva Goswami says to him, if this is what you are after, he says. Jiva Goswami says, there it is lying there. He says, throw it into him. It was lying there. First of all, he denied to him that I don't have it. But then when he said, Jiva Goswami made sure. He said, I'll give this to you, but if you get it, will you leave me after that? This was the condition he put forward to this visitor, to this person who had come. And saying this, Jiva Goswami hands over a touchstone to him. He took it from Jiva Goswami. And as soon as he got it in his hand, he started looking at it. Then he thought, I should test this first of all. So he went up to one big stone which was lying there, went and touched that. It turns into gold. Similarly, there were some other stones also. All of them he has turned into gold. Now it has become a problem. What to do with all this gold? To carry so much gold from there. And it is getting to be a little bit difficult for him what to do. But that person suddenly started thinking, why Jiva Goswami threw this touchstone to me, threw it away like this? If that means maybe he has something higher than this touchstone with him. Otherwise he would not throw it away like this, so freely, like this. You don't have it. You can take it and get out from here. Will anyone say like that? So naturally when he got this, he went up to Jiva Goswami and paid his obeisances. At that time, Jiva Goswami told him that I have another stone with me, which is blue color, and it is inside. You can't take it away from there. It stays there all the time. And that stone is much more precious than this touchstone, what you are after. When this Jiva Goswami mentioned this to him,
immediately he came to his senses. He realized that how intelligent Jiva Goswami was, paid his obeisances to Jiva Goswami, and became a full-time servant of Jiva Goswami from then. And that personality in later life became very advanced in spiritual life simply by the mercy of Jiva Goswami. So you can see how association can change people's life, and that is what has happened to Rupa Goswami. To this servant of Jiva Goswami. Later years, he came to the senses and understood that by simply what to get from a personality like Jiva Goswami is not a touchstone, is not anything, material wealth, but higher than all these things, Krishna. Jiva Goswami could offer Krishna to anyone, and that was his potency. So from here, from this story, you can see Rukmini Devi is saying to Krishna in the same way that those devotees who come to you, they have you as their wealth. They are not carrying wealth like the princes who come to see me. They show their opulences with the jewels around their neck and the gold bangles and gold jewelry and stones, everything decorating their body. And people are saying that they got wealth. What wealth do they have in comparison with your devotees who are holding your lotus feet all the time in their hearts? For them, they've got you as their wealth, and you are the greatest wealth. Is Rukmini's words not correct? Think about this. Every single verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam, when Rukmini was answering these 16 questions, Rukmini has proved stage by stage, Krishna is the greatest wealth in this world. There is no other wealth. Every other wealth, what we consider as wealth, is Maya. Maya is tricking us, saying that this is wealth, that is wealth, that is wealth. So many other wealth, what we consider as wealth, from Krishna, from Rukmini's point of view, who is the great wealthiest person, Mahalakshmi herself is saying to us, none of them are wealth, Krishna is the wealth. So that is how Rukmini Devi has answered that arguments to Krishna. The 16 arguments completely broke by Rukmini Devi by her very logical and convincing arguments to prove that a devotee of Krishna is more wealthy than anyone else in this world. And Rukmini started arguing, putting forward all these answers to Krishna. So when all these things were spoken, Krishna heard everything and then said to Rukmini Devi, Rukmini, your lecture was very good. I am very impressed, she says. Krishna says to Rukmini. And Krishna said also something more after that. Then Krishna says to Rukmini then, actually, I had no intention of hurting you. It was my intention to abandon you. You should know that. Because I wanted to see this devotee's mood from you, how it comes out in this way. But at the same time, Krishna mentioned a couple of things to Rukmini. Krishna says to Rukmini that you may be thinking I was going to abandon you, weren't you? But let me tell you, Krishna says to Rukmini, I know your heart very much, more than what you know about yourself, Krishna says. Rukmini says to Krishna, what do you know about me? Krishna says, do you want me to give you the proof? Rukmini says, yes, I don't know anything what you are referring to. Krishna says, all right, I'll give you two proofs to show what kind of devotee you are. What is your status in Krishna's spiritual life? When the Brahmana came to see me in Dwaraka on that day, when Krishna was sent, the message was sent by Rukmini from the palace from Vidarbha to Dwaraka, asking Krishna to come to marry her. That night was a very difficult night for Rukmini. Rukmini kept thinking about it. In the morning, 9 o'clock, there was not much time. The time was very short. 9 o'clock in the morning, Rukmini had to go to the temple to see Durga Devi's temple. Namasye Twambige Vishnam Sasandana Yutam Shivam Bhuyan Padirme Bhagavan Krishna Sadanimo Dadam. That was Rukmini's prayers to Ambiga, to Sri Parvati on that morning. So Rukmini was saying to Krishna that Krishna was saying that morning, 9 o'clock, she had to go to the temple. And hours before that, the Brahmana had not returned. Brahmana had not returned from Dwaraka. Brahmana has gone to get... So, Rukmini's anxiety was building up inside in a natural way that Krishna, will Krishna come? If Krishna doesn't come, then the only option I have is to marry Shishubala, which she didn't want to do at any cost. So, in that anxiety at that night, Rukmini took a stone to kill herself and put it in the mouth and went inside. And when that stone went inside, naturally, normally you will die, that particular type of stone, if you consume that, it was poisonous and it will also kill you. And Rukmini had decided to give up her life for the sake of Krishna that night. And because Rukmini in the message mentioned this, if I don't get you, what I will do is, I will die in this life thinking about you, and with that thoughts I will die, and in the next life I will come back again, and that Vasanas will come back to me, and I will continue hundreds of lifetimes. In other words, till I get you, I am not going to leave you. This was Rukmini's attitude at that time. So she took this stone, thinking that she will die. But she didn't die. On the other hand, every hour after hour, things were changing. And Rukmini was looking more and more jubilant and happy. It was happening the opposite way. What the effect was, completely opposite. And the same time, when this was happening, that Krishna was in coming with, from Dwaraka to Vidarbha with the Brahmana. And Krishna was knew what was happening with Rukmini. When Krishna mentioned this to Rukmini, did you not do that night? He says to Rukmini. Now, this story is not in the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is in the other Puranams. But Sukadeva Goswami has slightly given a very small hint of that in this Ratna Mudra Vashobhidaha. About Rukmini mentioning that she was not only shining outside because of this jewel inside, Ratna Mudra Vashobhidaha. Rukmini looked so beautiful because of inside also this jewel was there. That is how Shishukan puts it in the Bhagavatam. But in the story is mentioned in detail in the other Puranas. So whatever it is, Krishna reminded Rukmini of this incident, what happened in Dwaraka, what happened in Vidarbha. Rukmini was shocked. Rukmini never thought that Krishna will knew this. Krishna knew what has happened. What exactly, what thoughts were going through Rukmini was known to Krishna at that time, what was happening. Rukmini says to Krishna, I am very sorry that I have done that. Because in that anxiety for me, I had no other choice. Brahmana didn't come back. I didn't get back any message from you. And I couldn't wait anymore, because if the morning comes, and if Rukmi takes me over to the temple, and if I might have to marry Shishubala, there wasn't much time left. And I, in that anxiety, I have done this, and I have to apologize for that. Rukmini said this to Krishna. Krishna says, shall I tell you one thing more? He says. Rukmini says, yes. Later on, much later, in Aniruddha's marriage, when Aniruddha was getting married, in Bhojakadam, that's where the marriage took place. Rukmini's brother was Rukmi. So Rukmi's son's daughter was married to Rukmini's grandson, which is Pradyumna's son Aniruddha. Aniruddha married that girl. So in that marriage, a misunderstanding happened. Misunderstanding means they committed offenses to Lord Balaram. And Balaram killed Rukmi. In that marriage, Balaram killed Rukmi. At that time, Rukmini did not say one word to Krishna about it. So in other words, when her own brother, Rukmi, was killed by Balaram, Rukmini did not even protest about it, thinking that it may upset Krishna by saying something, and managed to control herself, all the unhappiness and distress what she experienced at that time when Rukmi was killed. And Rukmini kept that to herself. Is that not true? Krishna says to Rukmini. Rukmini says, yes, that's also true. So what does this mean? We are just saying so many things, but it's not that. What it is that when a devotee serves Krishna, often devotee is thinking that I'm doing so many things. Does Krishna recognize what's happening, what I'm doing? So much sacrifice one is making in one's own life to please Krishna. So here, one day, Krishna will tell this devotee, one day Krishna will ask the devotee, in order to serve me, you have gone through so much of difficulties in your own life and your own austerities and penances. That is what that is indicating, that everything is recorded, whatever we do in spiritual life to please Krishna. Krishna recognizes that one day. And the very same way what Krishna has asked to Rukmini, Krishna was aware that Rukmini had done these things in order to reach Krishna. So much sacrifice Rukmini has tolerated so much in her life so that she may have Krishna. That was her desire to have Krishna. So similarly, a devotee also in our own spiritual life in this world, when we have to execute so many activities in this world, so much distress will come from different angles, from different people. Sometimes they will create a lot of obstacles in spiritual life, and they will create difficulties also. But in spite of that, a devotee has to tolerate them in order to go back to Krishna. The goal is Krishna, not the other things. So in order to stress this point, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Sudeva Goswami says these things to point out to us that spiritual life may not be very easy ride all the time. Everything is arranged for you. No, nothing is arranged for you. You have to fight through this, the obstacles and the difficulties that keeps coming one after the other in your service to Krishna. Service has to go on. To please Krishna is the goal. There is no other goal in this life. How to please Krishna? So pleasing Krishna, and in that activity or in that endeavor, so many problems may come. So many difficulties may come. A devotee should not be distracted by that. He should continue, pursue his spiritual activities of placing Krishna. Like Srila Prabhupada used to mention this often, that this life is for Krishna. Offer this to Krishna. There is no other business. He says, you serve, you are not a loser. At any cost, you are not a loser. You will always gain Krishna's mercy. Because those personalities who can see these things which is happening beyond our understanding, we only see what we see, our material benefit. That is how we see the life. But spiritually advanced personalities, they see life from a different angle. They are able to recognize that serving Krishna is a transcendental activity. And not only that, on a longer run, it is more profitable than serving anything in this material world. So because of their understanding, her understanding, like Rukmini Devi mentions here, and Krishna has also spoken about it, to indicate to the devotee that Krishna really recognizes all the sacrifices a devotee make in their spiritual life to go back to Krishna. It is these sacrifices that purifies and brings the mercy from Krishna. As I mentioned before, Srimad Bhagavatam is that literature which gives you an understanding how to sacrifice for Krishna. The more one sacrifice, the more one becomes sincere. The more one becomes sincere, the more one becomes pure. And when one becomes pure, Krishna offers himself to that devotee. So it is from the sacrifice one gets Krishna, not by accumulating. Accumulating, you don't get Krishna. By sacrifice, you get Krishna. And that is what Krishna consciousness means, sacrificing for Krishna. So here, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, after this main message was spoken like this, and at the same time, in the Bhagavatam, when Rukmini Devi answered these questions to Krishna, Rukmini Devi mentioned something else as well. What was that? There is if you look at the chapter 60, there is a verse mentioned there that verse number 45, because it's a very long lecture from Rukmini Devi, Rukmini Vacham, it is in there, verse 45 in chapter 16. Takshmashuro khanaka kesha pinadhamandar mam sasti rakta krame velkabhavitavadam jivachavam bhajadi kandam adirvi moodha yade padabjam magarandam ajigradistri. Then Krishna, Rukmini Devi is saying to Krishna, that how is that possible when one has accepted your service, your lotus feet, how can one give up that? Because ശുരോമനഖകേശപിനധമന്തർ മാംസസ്ഥിരക്തകൃമിവിൽക്കഫപിത്തവാദം ജീവച്ഛവം ഭജതി കാന്തം അതിർവിമൂഢ യാതേ പദാബ്ജം മകരന്ദമജിഘ്രതി സ്ത്രീം. Then Rukmini in the earlier verses mentioned to Krishna that how can one give up Krishna's service? How is that possible? All the transcendental qualities of Krishna were spoken. And after that, Rukmini Devi also mentioned Krishna is the absolute truth, the Satchitanandam, eternity, blissful in knowledge. And that spiritual personality, Krishna has been served by, by great demigods and so many other great personalities. Rukmini Devi says to Krishna, what is my service in comparison to that? And like this, Rukmini Devi mentioned a lot of things to Krishna. And at that point, Krishna says to Rukmini Devi, that is wonderful what you have spoken, because your words are absolutely correct, what you have mentioned, that in householder life, you have got me as your husband. But what about so many other people? By serving me, I understand that you are advancing in the spiritual life. You are actually becoming dearer to me. I am pleased with that service. But what about the fate of those people who have not had the chance to serve me? This was the question Krishna has raised to Rukmini at that time. Everyone in this world may not get Krishna as their husband. And so many other people, you may marry somebody, and in that marriage, later on, you may think that, oh, the marriage is not happy. And so many situations can happen. And Rukmini is saying there, Tvakshmashuryoman akhakesha pinadhaman dharmam saasti raktakrami vilkapha pittavadam jeeva chavam bajadikandam adirvimodha yade padamjam agarandam ajikhradistri. That she should realize that the material body, which is made of all these different elements, the skin, that hair and the nails and flesh, the blood and rectum, krimi, the worms and so many things, air, bile, mucus, this is what this material body is made of. But unless and until one realizes that inside this bag of all this unwanted material, there is Krishna's presence inside. That is what one should realize. In every living entity, when we see that person, one should not judge that. That is just a bag of urine and stool. Sometimes we say about the material body in that way. It is true, the material body is nothing but tvakshmashuryoman nakakesha pinadhamandarmam sasti rekta krama krimi. All these things are there in the material body, no doubt about it. But inside the material body, there is also Krishna's part and parcel sitting there. That is what one should remember. That is what Rukmini Devi is saying. That you shouldn't think that when you are rejecting a husband or when you are rejecting a wife, in the basis that because of your modes of material nature, which caused all the friction and fight between quarrel between husband and wife, Rukmini Devi is saying that is not how to deal with that. And you must remember, Rukmini says to Krishna, that a person should see within the other body that part and parcel of Krishna present there inside as a super soul. So Krishna is accessible to everybody. No one is denied Krishna's presence. Only thing is, due to our material conditioning, we take to this approach of rebellion, and rebellious nature develops in us, and that causes the difficulties. Krishna appreciated Rukmini Devi's this special explanation on the marriage life. And Krishna says to Rukmini, what are you going to do for them? Rukmini says, for such people, I maintain a special place for them in Vaikuntha. That was Rukmini's answer to that. Rukmini says, such people who have tolerated in their life, because Grihastha Ashram is an opportunity to understand how to develop love in this mind. You will also notice that a Grihastha normally is more tolerant than the Brahmachari or a Sannyasi. Why? Because in the Grihastha Ashram, he gets an opportunity, he has to tolerate many things in life towards one's own family. And in order to protect the family, he has to deal with the external world. There he has to be tolerant. In several situations, he may experience so many hardships in one's own life. But all these difficulties what one goes through, even after that, he has some happiness from that. Why? Because the heart feels that happiness which is obtained from that serving the other living entities. But unfortunately, what happens is, when one enters into household life becomes the center of attraction. Or in other words, household life alone becomes the goal of life. And there are personalities who have used their household life to understand what is love, how to love another person, that loving attachment and relationship, how to build a relationship, and that is what is learned in the household life. And there were great devotees who have learned this in their household life, and at the appropriate time came, they have redirected that love, that loving propensity towards Krishna. And that was their success, and that is where our failure. Our failure is that we enter into household life, and then we take this household life as everything after that. We do not know where to come out of that, or what lessons to learn from that. We get into household life and thinks that this household life is the whole objective of the or the goal of life. But there are personalities, you will see throughout the history of the devotional culture, many, many great devotees, they have escaped fiends. From household life, they learned many lessons, and they succeeded in that lessons, gave them the capacity to love Krishna. And they realized and they directed that love towards Krishna. That was their success. And the most finest example of all this is Vilomangalam himself. Vilomangalam was an ordinary Brahmana. He didn't have any control of any mutt, or he was not a ashrama adhipatyam. In other words, he didn't have any ashram or anything like that. He just lived like a Brahmana. But at the same time, he had a relationship with Chindamani. Chindamani was the woman whom he had a loving relationship. Then in one night, when he went away from home, he had to perform a sacrifice somewhere. He went for that. While returning back home, it was quite late, and therefore he had to cross the river. And the river was flooded because of the heavy rains the night before. And when he got to this place where he had to cross the river, he found that there were no boats available to cross, so he decided to swim over the river to the other side, where he lived with this lady, Chindamani. So that night he took a heavy risk and caught hold of a log of wood, which he thought it is a log of wood. Actually, it was a dead body. He caught on to that and crossed over the river to the other side. When he got on to the other side, he realized that what he was traveling along across was with a dead body. He felt very disgusted, bathed himself many times in the river, and in the early hours in the morning, went to the house to see Chindamani. When he got there, Chindamani was waiting for him whole night, and not seeing him, she was sitting at home and chanting the holy names of Krishna. When in the morning, when Vilomangalam went and knocked at the door, Chindamani opened the door and saw Vilomangalam standing outside fully wet, with wet clothes, having fully exhausted. Chindamani asked Vilomangalam, "Why did you do this?" Vilomangalam says to Chindamani, "I have done all these things only for one reason, because I had so much attachment for you." Chindamani put her hand on her lips and said to Vilomangalam like this, What a dangerous thing that you have done in this fully river, in this river which is fully flooded. You try to swim over that, and such a risk you have taken just to see me. Who am I? If this same feeling what you had for me, if it was directed towards Krishna, how nice it would have been. It would have probably taken you back to the spiritual world. This is how Chindamani said to Vilomangalam. Seeing that sincerity of Vilomangalam, that is what you have to appreciate there. Vilomangalam's sincerity in that loving relationship. That very word of Chindamani hit Vilomangalam so strongly that he did not get into the house, he turned back. And then in the Karnavardham, you can read that. Shaivavayam nakhalu tatra vicharaniyam. Vilomangalam says there, "I am a Shaiva Brahmana by birth. I was born as a Shaiva Brahmana. Lord Shiva's devotee, in the family of Lord Shiva's devotee." He went back to the temple and chanted the holy names of Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva gave him the special benediction of devotion to Krishna. That is what he offered to Vilomangalam. And that is how from then on we come to hear of Vilomangalam as the pure devotee of Krishna. And later on compiled Krishna Karanamritam from then on. And you can see that Vilomangalam learned that life from Chintamani. So therefore, when he begins Krishna Karanamritam, he begins with this first offering his respects to Chintamani. Chintamani is the first word in the verse itself. Verse begins with Chintamani. So, like these many personalities, they have succeeded in their household life, directing their love for Krishna. So, this opportunity that's been given is the household life, where there's an opportunity to understand what is life, what is love with another living entity, how to see Krishna in another living entity, and that relationship, how to build up. Many, many things Rukmini Devi has spoken in that small lecture, what she's spoke to Krishna. So after this incident, there is another part of that story where Krishna's Parikshit Maharaj had a few questions to ask Sudeva Goswami. After this incident, you find that Rukmini's son, which Krishna's son, which is Pradyumna has married Rukmi's daughter. Rukmi is Rukmini's brother. How did this marriage happen? Because Parikshit Maharaj could not understand. The relationship between Krishna and Rukmi was so bad that again, at the marriage itself, Rukmi has taken a vow. What was the vow? Vow was this: I will kill Krishna, and then I will, only after that I will go back to Kundinam and will come back to Kundinam. And he was living in Bhojaganam at that time. So to such an extent, Rukmi was against Krishna. He wanted to kill Krishna. And Krishna also, after the day's incident at the time of marriage, Krishna also felt never again talking to this person, Rukmi. Because that day, Krishna was going to kill him, but Balaram stopped him from doing that. If you remember, we discussed this the day of marriage. So now that the marriage is over, you would have thought that Rukmi would have completely finished that relationship and kept away. But Rukmini and Rukmi were very attached to each other, the brother and the sister. So what happened later on was that when the time for Pradyumna was already married to Radhi Devi, earlier we saw that. But Pradyumna wanted to again get married. And one day, when Krishna was in the palace, Rukmini comes to Krishna and says to Krishna like this, that by chance I had looked at the horoscope of Pradyumna and my brother's daughter, which is Rukmini's daughter, and they are matching very well. Rukmini says to Krishna. Krishna says, if it is matching, you go ahead. I have nothing to say anything about it. I will give you all the help what you want for the marriage is concerned. Every help I'll offer you. But don't expect me to go and talk to Rukmi. I will not do that, he says. Krishna says to Rukmini. And why Krishna spoke like that? This is what you have to realize that. In the Ekadashi Skandam, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, while talking about householder life, Krishna says one important thing. Griheshu adhidivalvasan. That if you have to live in the householder life peacefully, you have to stay like a guest in the house. If you start thinking that I'll manage my family life throughout life and start jumping up and down for every little thing, then you will be lost in that process. Griheshu adhidivalvasan. So it's no point in instructing Uddhava like this unless he himself acts like that, isn't it? And that is what the interesting thing about Krishna. Whatever Krishna has instructed Arjuna and Uddhava, you will always find in personal life also, Krishna has manifested the same approach. That is the lesson to us all, that marriage is fine. His own son Pradyumna is getting married. I don't have to get involved. Whatever help you need, I'll offer you. But don't expect me to get emotionally involved in that. That is Pradyumna's business, your business, Rukmi's business. I have nothing to do with that. Griheshu adhidivalvasan. Otherwise, you will be in trouble. Now, what has happened more than that was, after this incident, you would have thought that one marriage was enough to keep the two together, isn't it? No. After some time, Pradyumna had a son called Aniruddha. So this Aniruddha in due course wanted to marry Rukmi's son's daughter. So one after the other, the marriages between these two families, and the head of these two families won't talk to each other. See the difficulty here. Rukmi is the head of that family and Krishna is the head of this family. They won't talk to each other, but the marriages are going on between the two families. And Parikshit Maharaj was completely shocked to see this going on one after the other. So when he mentioned this, Shishupan says there, what happened was, at the time of this marriage of Aniruddha, when the marriage was going to happen at the palace in Bhojakadam, Krishna also went for the marriage. He says, I'll come for the marriage, but don't get involved me in anything. Everything was handed out to Rukmini. Rukmini wanted to get the marriage arranged. Rukmini's attachment to Rukmi, that is what it was. Rukmini says, I want to have, they are also nice match each other, so let this marriage be arranged. This was Rukmini's words. So, when the marriage was organized, Krishna went for the marriage, everything was, in the big marquee, when they were walking each other, Krishna will go in one direction, Rukmi will come from the opposite direction. They won't look at each other, they'll turn their head on the other side. So this is how that relationship was. And at the end, Balaram was also there at the marriage. So Krishna had already decided what was going to happen that day itself, on the day of the marriage itself. This Rukmi is one of those demoniac kings group. As I mentioned before, at the time of churning the milk ocean, from that the history comes, Krishna knows the whole story of everyone there. So Krishna has decided to finish him. That time, Balaram has told Krishna not to kill Rukmi. So Krishna decided, I'll use Balaram to kill Rukmi now. This is how it happened. So at the marriage, what happened was that Balaram had already plenty of Varuni that day. And the eyes were a little bit reddish after the Varuni has gone in. You know what Varuni means? It is one of the finest band. So Varuni has gone inside and Balaram was fully charged with that. So Balaram was moving around and all the other kings were present there, the king of Kalinga and so many others who were all very powerful kings, they plotted to do to Balaram something. So what they did was, they told Rukmi to invite Balaram for a gamble. And if a Kshatriya invites another Kshatriya, he has to accept that. Balaram accepted that. So Balaram went to gamble with Rukmi. The gambling game started. After the gambling game started, after a while, all the other kings were supporting Rukmi. They were plotting against Balaram. They wanted to actually punish Krishna and Balaram as best as they could. This was their intention behind it. And with this Varuni that has gone in, Balaram was also in a very fiery mood. And when the game continued, after a while, Balaram won the game. But all the kings who were present there, they started saying Balaram has lost in the gambling. And it was not a normal gambling. 100,000 sovereigns, they were the bet. It was a very expensive bet, expensive game they were playing with the loads of jewelry and and jewels involved in that. So a lot of money involved, and Balaram was spoken, Balaram was told like this by all the kings who were present there. At that time there was a voice from the sky saying that don't play with Balaram, it will end up in a disaster. Some voice from the sky spoke like this. When the voice from the sky spoke like that, the king of Kalinga, who was sitting next to Rukmi, started laughing in a very offensive manner, making a joke of it, saying that, have you plotted somebody there to speak like this? He spoke in that way, the king of Kalinga. He started speaking like this. So when he spoke like that, Balaram got very furious. He took his iron musalam, as it's called, and smashed on Rukmi's head and killed him on the spot. On the spot, Rukmi was killed. Marriage was going on. Aniruddha's marriage with his granddaughter. It was then that this incident happened. Rukmi was killed. Balaram's anger was already, because of this Varuni inside, And plus, when they started lying like this and trying to cheat Balaram, he couldn't bear it. He killed Rukmi on the spot. And the next thing, because the king of Kalinga, he was planning, he had a dentist appointment next day apparently, that Balaram solved half of the problem for the dentist. In one smash, took all the teeth out. So he must have saved on this dentist bill. That he also, Kalinga's, all the teeth were gone because of the smash from Balaram. Krishna was observing all these things. Didn't say one word. Didn't take the side of Balaram, nor did they take the side of Rukmi. Why? If I say to Rukmini that what Balaram has done is the right thing, Rukmini will get upset with me. Or if I say to Balaram that what you did is wrong, what you did is what you did is wrong, Balaram will get upset with me. I am neither Balaram's brother nor Rukmini's husband. I come from Dwaraka, Krishna says. Saying this, Rukmini, are you ready to go? Says this, held Rukmini's hand, got into the chariot, went back to Dwaraka. This is that story. That is where Krishna's griheshu atidivalvasan. In family life, all these kind of things can happen. Big families, extended families, and in that there is envy, jealousy, all kinds of problems will come. And in all these situations, if one does not keep away from that, if you start getting into parties and group politics, then you will get into trouble, Krishna is saying. A householder should guard against all these problems. Griheshu atidivasan. One should stay like a guest in the house. Whatever that is happening, it's not your business. That will carry on in this world. So many instructions in the Srimad Bhagavatam in the householder life, from Krishna's householder life. That is how this incident in the Srimad Bhagavatam is discussed. Rukmini's discussions with Rukmini's discussion with Krishna, or talks between Krishna and Rukmini. It is after this that Aniruddha marries the daughter of Vanasura, which is Usha. And that marriage is discussed in two chapters from now on. But even though we didn't have so much time to discuss this particular, there's more things to talk about it, that this famous chapter, which is very, very pleasing to Krishna to hear in the Srimad Bhagavatam, many, many devotees, they have spoken years and years on this one chapter. Begins with the word Karhichit. That is the next chapter. I'll just read that chapter and then we will leave. Shri Shuka Uvaja, verse chance, chapter 60. No, sorry. This 60th chapter, Krishna begins with the statement that I should also tell you what Sridharacharya Swamiji says about the talks between Krishna and Rukmini. In that talk, very clearly Sridharacharya Swamiji says like this, that Pariniyadadastabi tanmanoradapurani atmaramopyasauremi talgriheshu grahasthaval. That although Krishna is Atmarama, Krishna is self-satisfied, fully occupied in his own, situated in one's own self, but still, simply like a grahastha, like a householder, he performed his different pastimes. Pariniyadadastabi tanmanoradapurani atmaramopyasauremi talgriheshu grahasthaval. Like an ordinary grihastha, Krishna performed that pastime. And in the next chapter, that is the chapter 60, Rama Rama Jana Anandam Mahodevidam Vaneya Rukminya Prema Kalaham Chadmaneshwaryam Iryadeyam. That how the householder enjoy in his life, in this world, at that time, how Krishna actually Pranaya Kalaham. Pranaya means a loving quarrel with Rukmini. How Krishna performed that, and Krishna's unusual opulences that comes through that. Shri Shuka Uvaja, Karhijal Sukhamasinam Sadalpastam Jagalgurum Padam Parijaral Bhaishmi Vajanena Sakhi Janeya Yasveda Lilayavisham Sajatya Vajadishwara Sahijada Susaidunam Gobhidhaya Dushwajam Tasmin Nandar Grihe Prajan Muktana Adama Vilambinam Viraji Devidanina Dibair Manimayai Ravi Mali Adama Vipushpet Divreva Kurana Adidei Jwadarandar Pravishtesha Gobish Chandrama Somelei Parijada Vanam Adha Vayino Dhyana Shalina Ubeira Gurijai Rajan Jalarandra Vinir Gadei భయభేణ నిపైశుభ్రై పర్యంగై శశిభూత్తమై ఉపరస్థై సుఖాసీనం జగదామీశ్వరం వరిం బాలవ్యజనమాదాయ రత్నదండం సఖీకరాల్ తేనం విజయదీదేవి ఉపాసాశ్చక్రమీశ్వరం సోబాచ్యుతం కుణైరి మణినూబిరాభ్యాం రేజంగులీయవలయవజనాగ్రహస్థ వస్త్రాంధగూఢకచకుంగుమ షోణహారభాసా నితంబృదయాజ పరార్ధకాంజ్యాః తాం రూపిణీం శ్రీయమయనిగతిం నిరీక్షయా లీలయా ధృతమనోరనిరూపరూప ప్రియతస్మయం నలగకుండల నిష్కగండవక్ోల్లసల్ స్మితసుధాం హరిరాభభాషే శ్రీభగవానువాచ రాజపుత్రీప్సిదా భూమే లోకపాల విభూతి మహానుభావై శ్రీమద్భిరూపౌదార్య బలోర్జితయ్య తాం ప్రాప్తానార్థినో హిత్వా చైద్యాదిన్ స్మరదుర్మదాన్ దత్తా భ్రాత్రా సుమిత్రాజా కస్మాన్ నో వౌషే సమాన్ రాజభ్యోభిమృత సుభ్రూ సముద్రం శరణం గదాన్ బలవల్భీకృత ద్వేషాన్ ప్రాయస్త్యక్త నృపాసనాన్ అస్పర్శవర్పనామం సామలోక మలోకపదమీయూషాం ఆస్థిదా పదవీం సుభ్రూ ప్రాయ సీదందియోషిదాః నిష్కించనా వయం శశ్వ నిష్కించనజన ప్రియాః తస్మాన్ ప్రాయణ మహ్యాడ్య మా భజంది సుమధ్యమే ఏవరాత్మసమం విత్తం జన్మ ఐశ్వర్యాగృతిర్భవ తయోర్వ్యాహో మైత్రీజ మూతమాధమయో క్వచిల్ వైదర్భీద విజ్ఞాయం త్వయా దీర్ఘ సమీక్షయ వృదా వయం గుణైనా భిక్షుభి శ్లాఘిదా ముత అథాత్మనో నిరూపం వై భజస్వ క్షత్రియర్షవం ఏన త్వమ అశిర సత్యాయిహాముత్ర జలప్స్యసే చైద్య సాల్యుజరా సందదంద వక్రాదయో నృప మమద్విషంది వామోరు రుక్మీ చాబీద వాగ్రజ తేషాం వీర్యమదాంధానాం తృప్తానాం స్మైనుత్తయే ఆ నీదాసిమయా భద్రే తేజోవహరదా సదా ఉదాసీనా వయం నూనం నస్త్ర వ్యత్యార్థగా ముగా ఆత్మలబ్ధ్యాస్మహే పూర్ణ గ్రహయోర్జ్యోతిర క్రియాః శ్రీశుక ఉవాచ ఏనావదుక్త్వా భగవాన్ ఆత్మానం వల్లభామివ మన్యమానామవిశ్లేషా తద్ర్భగ్నముపారమల్ ఇదిత్లోకేశపదేస్తదాత్మనాం ప్రియస్య దేవేశ్రుతపూర్వమప్రియం ఆశ్రుత్య భీమాహృజాదవే ముదుశ్చిందాం దురందాం రుదది జగామః పదాసుజాదేన నఖారుణశ్రియా భూం లిఖంది అశ్రుభిరంజనాసిదయ్య ఆసీంజది కుంగుమరుషిదౌ స్తనా తస్థావదో ముఖ్యది దుఃఖరుద్ధవా తస్యాసు దుఃఖ వైశోక వినష్టబుద్ధే హస్తాశ్చ దులయదో విజనం పవాద దేహాశ్చ విక్లవదయ సహసైవ ముఖ్యరంభైవ వాయువిహదా ప్రవిగీర్య కేశాన్ తద్దృష్టో భగవాన్ కృష్ణప్రియాయో ప్రేమబంధనం హాస్య ప్రౌఢిమజానంద్య కరుణస్సు అన్యుకన్వద పరింగాదు వరిహ్యాశు తాముత్థాప్య చతుర్భుజ కేశాన్ సముచతద్వక్త్రం ప్రామజల్ పద్మవాణిన ప్రామృజ్య అశ్వకులే నేత్రే స్తనౌ చోభహదౌ శుజ ఆశ్లిష్యబాహునరాజ అనన్య విషయా సదీం సాన్వయామాస సాన్విజ్ఞ క్రమయాక్రమణాం ప్రభు హాస్య ప్రౌఢిమచిత తదహాం సదాంగది శ్రీభగవానువాచ మామా వైదర్భ్యసూ ఏద జానే త్వామల్పరాయణ తద్వజ శ్రోదుగామేన క్షేళ్వాచరితమంగనే ముఖం చ ప్రేమ సంబ్రహ్మ స్ఫురితాధరమీక్షితం కడాక్షేపారుణాభాంగం సుందర భృగుడీతడం అయం హి పరమోలాభో గ్రహేషు గ్రహమేధినం ఎన్నర్మైర్నియదేయామం పరయాభిరుభామిని శ్రీశుకౌవాచ సైవం భగవదరాజన్ వైదర్భీ పరిసాన్విద జ్ఞాత్వా త్వల్పరిహాసోక్తిం ప్రియ త్యాగవయం జహౌ బభాష కృషమం పుంసాం వీక్షంది భగవన్ముఖం సవ్రీడహాసురుజిరస్నిగ్ధామాంగేన భారత శ్రీరుక్మిణి వాచ నన్యేవమేద అరవింద విలోచనా యద్వై భవాన్ భగవతో సదృశీ విభూమ్న క్వం సేమహిం అభినదో భగవాం స్త్రదీశకోహం గుణ ప్రగతిరజ్ఞ గ్రహీతపాద సత్యం భయాదివ గుణేభ్యముక్రమాందశేదే సముద్ర ఉపలంభనమాతృమాత్మా నిత్యం కదింద్రియగణై కృత విగ్రహస్థం తుల్సేవే నృపదం విదుదం తమంధం త్వల్పాదవద్మగరందజుషా మునీనిం పద్మాస్ఫుటం నృషుభిర్నను దుర్విభావ్యం యస్మాత్ అలౌకీయమేహితం ఈశ్వరస్య భూమం స్థవేహితమధో అనియే భవందం నిష్కించనో నని భవాన్ నయనోస్తు కించి వ్యాస్మై బలిం బలిభుజో విహరంది అజాద్యాం నత్వా వినంద్య సుతో మందగమాఢ్యదాసం ప్రేష్టో భవాన్ బలిభుజామభిదేవిభ్యం త్వం వై సమస్త పురుషార్థమయ ఫలాత్మా యద్వాంఛయా సుమదయో విసృజంతి కృత్స్నం తేషాం విభో సంశితో భవద సమాజ పుంస స్త్రియాశ్చ హృదయో సుఖ దుఃఖితోర్న త్వం న్యస్తదండ మునిభిర్గదిధానుభావం ఆత్మాత్మనశ్చ జగదామితి మే మృదోసి నిత్వా భవల్ భ్రువమీరిత కాల వేగత్వ ఆశిషోబ్జ భవనా కుపదీన్ కుదోన్యే జాడ్యం మజస్తవగదావృజమస్ భూమాన్ విద్రామే శార్ఘగందిన జహార్థమాం త్వం సింహో యథా సుబలిమీష పశూన్ స్వభాగం తేభ్యో భయాద్యుదతీం శరణం ప్రమన్న యద్వాంఛయా నృషిఖామణయోంగమైన్య జాయందనాశయాదిమైకమత్యం రాజ్యం విసర్జమేషుర్మనం అంబుజాక్షసీదంది నేను పదవీం తమిహాస్తినా కిం కాన్యం శ్రయేత తమ పాదసరోజగంధమాఘ్రాయ సన్ముఖరితం జనదాపవర్గం లక్ష్మ్యాలయం తో విఘ్నయ గుణాలయస్యమర్త్యా సదోరుభయమర్త వివిక్త దృష్టి త్వం త్వానిరూపమోజం జగదాది జగదామధీశం ఆత్మానమత్ర జమరత్ర కామపూరం స్యాన్మేతమాంగిరణం సుధృతిర్భ్రమంద్యాం యోగై భజన్న ఉభయాతముదావవర్గాః
തസ്യാസുരചിന്തുർവാഭവതോപദിഷ്ടം സ്ത്രീനാം ഗൃഹേഷു ഖേ ഘോഷഭിടാലഭൃത്യാഹ യൽ വർണ്ണമൂലം ഹരികർഷണ നോവയാദ്യുൽ നോവയായാൽ ഉഷ്മൽ കഥാമൃഡ വിരഞ്ജ സഭാസു ഗീതാഹ ക്ഷ്മശുരോവനഖകേഷു വിനദ്ധമന്ത്രമാംസാസ്തി മാംസാസ്തി രക്തകുണിവൽ കമവിത്തവാദം ജീവക്ഷമം ഭജനി കാന്തമതിർ വിഭുട യാതേ പദാബ്ജമകരന്ദമജിഘ്രതി സ്ത്രീ അസ്തംബുജാക്ഷമവതി ചരണാദുരാഗമാൽപൻ കുടതസ്യമൈചാനതിരിക്തദൃഷ്ടേ രഹസ്യവൃദ്ധയമുപാതരജ്യോതി മാത്രം ആമീക്ഷസേ തദുഹന പരമാനുകമ്പം നൈവാലികമഹം മന്യവജസ്തേ മധുസൂദന അംബായാമ്യഹിപ്രായം കന്യായാം സതതി ക്വജിൽ വ്യൂഢായാം ശവിമുശ്ചല്യ മനോഭ്യതി നവം നവം ഉദോസതീം വിഭുയാം താം വിഭ്രതുപയച്ഛുതാം ശ്രീഭഗവാൻ വാചാം സാധ്യത പ്രദുകാമേസ്വം രാജപുത്രീ പ്രളംഭിത മയോദിതം യദന്വാർത്ഥം സർവം തൽസത്യമേവഹി ഞാൻ ഞാൻ കാമയാസകാമാൻ മയകാമായ ഭാവിനിയും സന്ധി ഹേകാന്തഭക്തായാം സവ കല്യാണി നിത്യതാം ഉപലബ്ധം പതി പ്രേമ പാതിവൃത്യം ജനേന ഹേ യദ്വാക്കൈശ്ചാല്യമാനായം അധീർമയ അപകർഷിതാം യേ മാം ഭജതി ദാമ്പത്യേ തമസാവൃതചര്യയാ കാമാത്മനോപവർഗേശം മോഹിതാ മമ മായയാം മാം പ്രാപ്യമാനി നവവർഗ സമ്പദം വാച്ഛന്തി യേ സമ്പദമേവ തൽപതിം തേ മന്ദഭാഗ്യാം നിരയേവിയേനാം മാതൃകാൽ മാത്രാത്മകത്വാം നിരയ സുസംഗമാം ദൃഷ്ട്യാ ഗൃഹേശ്വര്യ സകന്മയത്വയാം കൃതാനുവൃത്തിർഭവമോചനീ ഖലൈ സുദുഷ്കരാസോ സുധരാം ദുരാശിഷോ അസുംഭരായാം നിവൃതിഞ്ജുഷ്വസ്ത്രിയാം നത്വാദൃശീം പ്രണയിനീം ഘണീം ഗൃഹേഷു പശ്യാമി മാനിനിയേയാം സ്വവിവാഹകാലേ പ്രാപ്ത അനുർബാനവഗണൈരഹോ ഹരോ മേ പ്രസ്താവിതോ വിജുനിജ ഉപശ്വസൽക്കതസ്യാം ഭ്രാതൃവിരൂപകരണം ഇതി നിർജിതസ്യ പ്രോദ്വാഹപർവണി തദ്വദമക്ഷഗോഷ്ട്യാം ദുഃഖം സമുത്തം അസോസ്മദയോ ഭഗീത്യാം നൈവാബ്രവീൽക്കുമഭിനേന വയം ചിദാസ്തേ ദൂതസ്ഥയാത്മലഭേന സുവിവിക്തമന്ത്രം പ്രസ്താവിതോ മഞ്ചിരായ നിശൂന്യമേതൽ മത്വാജിഹാസം ഇതമംഗമനന്യയോഗ്യം തിഷ്ടയേത തത്വൈ വയം പ്രതിനന്ദയാമ ശ്രീശുഗവാച ഏവം സൗരൻ സംലാവേർ ഭഗവാൻ ജഗതീശ്വര സ്വരദൂരമയാരേമേ നരലോകം വിടംബയൻ തദന്യാസാമി വിഭുർ ഗൃഹേഷു ഗൃഹവാനിവ ആസ്തിതോ ഗൃഹമേദീയാൻ ധർമാം ലോകഗുരോർ ഹരീം. ഇനി ശ്രീമത് ഭാഗവതീ മഹാപുരാണി പരമഹംസം സംഹിതായാം ദശമസ്കന്ധേ ഉത്തരാർദ്ധേ കൃഷ്ണ രുക്മിണി സംവാദോ നാമ ഷഷ്ടിതമോധ്യായ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ. സോ വിത്ത് ദാറ്റ് ചാപ്റ്റർ ദാറ്റ് ദിസ് പർട്ടിക്കുലർ പാസ്റ്റ് ടൈം ബിറ്റ്വീൻ കൃഷ്ണ ആൻഡ് രുക്മിണി ഈസ് ഫിനിഷ്ഡ് ആൻഡ് ഇൻ ദാറ്റ് ആസ് ഐ മെൻഷൻ ബിഫോർ ദിസ് വൺ ചാപ്റ്റർ ഇൻ ദി ശ്രീമത് ഭാഗവതം ഈസ് വെരി വെരി ഡിയർ ടു കൃഷ്ണ ആൻഡ് ദർ ഈസ് പ്രൂഫ് ഫോർ ദാറ്റ് ഹൗ വൈ കൃഷ്ണ ലൈക്സ് ഇറ്റ് ബിക്കോസ് മെനി മെനി ടൈംസ് ഇൻ കൃഷ്ണസ് Srimad Bhagavatam, while being commented on by different devotees, while coming to this chapter, Krishna has shown an unusual interest in that. Because sometimes Krishna has this nature that while spending this time in the Dwaraka, many, many years, many in, when Krishna was present here, at that time all these things have happened. When a devotee reads Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna hears Bhagavatam and the memories comes back of that day how Krishna argued with Rukmini, or that discussion with Rukmini. So when Krishna wants to hear this from the devotees, so in due course, in one instance, when one devotee took advantage of this, and he wanted to discuss this in detail in front of Krishna, in front of the deity, and many, many people were listening to that. So this chapter begins with the word Karhichit. Karhichit Sukhamasinam, that's how it mentioned there, in one instance. So when it was spoken, it took 6 months for him to discuss this one chapter. 6 months means from morning, 4 hours in the morning, 4 hours in the afternoon, 8 hours in a day. You can compare, you can calculate, 6 months it took, 7 days a week. In 6 months, this chapter was discussed. After hearing 6 months of this discussion between Krishna and Rukmini, Krishna was not satisfied. So he has kept his bookmark after that chapter. When he wanted to read next time, the bookmark was brought forward in the same. Oh, Krishna wanted to hear that chapter again. Second time when this happened, this devotee decided, I'm not going to do anything. Till Krishna moves the bookmark now, I'm not going to read the next chapter. Apparently, this continued many, many times before Krishna moved on to the next chapter. To such an extent, that chapter is pleasing to Krishna. When you have time, you should try to take some, find some time to read this particular chapter of Krishna's pastimes with Rukmini in the householder life. Why we are mentioning this here is that we all somehow got into this unescapable situation known as householder life. And every day there is some problem coming, and it should not come to the situation that like Rukmini has spoken there, and Krishna has spoken also, that in household life one should act in a particular way, that at the end it should become a benefit for him spiritually. Otherwise that household life is not profitable. And those instructions are coming from Rukmini in these verses and Krishna by the ideal householder couple. And from their instructions, all the householders have the benefit of to take advantage of it. Although there was not enough time, Krishna says there that reading this chapter and absorbing the thoughts behind it, it may benefit the, it will change or it will become a blessing for those who are experiencing their own difficulties also in household life. That is how Krishna, the benediction Sudeva Goswami has given to that. That so everything in the Srimad Bhagavatam has a purpose. And the purpose is this, that it makes our life peaceful and satisfied. Only when one is peaceful and satisfied, one can execute spiritual life. Otherwise, it's not possible. When it is fully disturbed with different things in life, how can there be a spiritual life? So in order to give that peacefulness in life, Krishna has spoken, and Rukmini Devi has also spoken for a householder to follow certain instructions. And as Krishna says, griheshu adirivad vasan, one should always see the householder life as an opportunity to advance on the spiritual path, not an opportunity for satisfying the sense gratification. That is the conclusion of that. I'll stop there now. All glory to Srila Prabhupada.